Welcome to the show. I'm Wendy Snyder, and Bill Leff, our new WGN greeter.
Yeah.
That's what you are today.
There's a weird streak going on. For people who don't know, we're on Michigan Avenue, the most beautiful radio studio, I think, in the country, if not the world. Would you agree with that?
Agreed.
It's beautiful inside. It's beautiful outside. You get a view that is just incomparable to any other radio station anywhere. And as the show progresses, people walk by, and some of them stop and smile and wave, and others just kind of peer, like that lady's doing right now. There's a lady
out there
just smiling and waving. And for some reason this morning, with the exception of the lady who just smiled back and waved back, anytime I've waved at people, they've looked at me like, mind your own business.
The one guy you said kind of shrugged his shoulder like, what do you want?
That was the look. He peered into the studio for about 20 seconds, didn't see anybody. And then when I came into his vision, I waved at him and smiled. And he just gave me this look like, I'm not here to see you. So I don't, happy holidays.
Wow.
I was just doing...
And you don't normally really wave frequently, because we're busy in here, you know, making the magic.
Right. And that takes at least 20 to 25% of our concentration. If it's just you and me, I will wave, but I have found if guests are here and I start waving, they don't know what to make of that. They're scared. They go, uh-oh, I guess I have to wave too. So I don't do it if guests are here. But if it's just the two of us and somebody's there, I'll definitely wave.
I wave to anyone who will look at me, basically, and that goes back to my days at Brookfield Zoo on the railroad train, because, you know, you'd be narrating or on the motor safari years later, and, you know, kids always wave.
Right.
Why do you always wave to an engineer? Because to this day, if an engineer is visible, if I'm at a train crossing and a Burlington Northern train stops,
right,
and if he's leaning out, like, you know how you drive with one arm out?
Sure.
If he's doing that, I wave to, I cannot help myself.
I believe that is part of the job description of an engineer, is that not only do they steer the choo-choo, and they want you to call them choo-choos, Wendy. Don't go all high-tech on me and call it a train. If you're steering the choo-choo, you also have a free hand, and you certainly should wave at passersby. Why wouldn't you?
Do you wave at firemen when they drive by?
Oh, yes.
I totally always do. I should wave to police officers, too.
Why don't you wave at police officers?
Because they're usually speeding past me on the way to get a ne'er-do-well.
Yep. Stopping crime as it happens.
Yep.
Yes. I've noticed that if you're on a boat ride, like a couple times I've taken boat rides, and then people who are on land will wave at you because you're on a boat, and you're on a boat, so you have to wave at them too because they're on land. Like if you were passing another boat, I don't remember waving at people on other boats, but you do wave at the people on land, and they wave back at you.
Waving got me in trouble yesterday, though, because there was a guy walking down our street to the train, and I was walking out of the house, and I waved to him, and my son Dylan said, "Who was that?" I said, "I don't have any idea. I thought it was our neighbor, but it wasn't."
Oh.
So it was just a bonus wave.
Oh, well, what's wrong with that?
I'm telling you, the greatest thing, and now with the holiday spirit all within ourselves, when you walk down the street and someone looks at you, just give them a smile, because they smile back, and it's the greatest moment. It's like, I just made that person smile.
Yes, and you can even add a happy holidays or a Merry Christmas if you're so inclined. You don't have to. Oh, I do want to tell you this about waving. Waving actually talked me out of buying a car. I know that sounds preposterous. How could that be? I'll explain exactly how. I was very close to buying a Jeep Wrangler. That's the one that's kind of more boxy, right?
That's the old school Jeep, correct?
Yeah. Right.
Like the off-road, you know, I'm going to be up in the mountains.
And you know me. That's where I spend most of my time, off-roading up in the mountains.
How many of my 25,000 toys can I fit in there if I move someday?
Right.
Not big enough for you, bro.
Right. All right. So I'm very close to purchasing a Jeep Wrangler. This is 2 years ago. It's between that and a couple of other cars. I'm very, very close. And then the salesman said, "Oh, by the way, I got to teach you the Jeep Wrangler wave." And I go, I've never heard of that. What is that?" And he said, "You'll find that people who also own Jeep Wranglers, as they're driving past each other, will do this kind of," and he showed me this wave that you do with two fingers. It's almost like an army salute, but you've got your hand on the wheel and then you just move your fingers.
I learned this when we bought a VW convertible.
They have a similar wave?
They all wave
what?
To each other.
Motorcycles do it too.
Motorcyclists. They do it too?
Different. Two fingers down.
So that's the one. All right, so he said, "You don't do this with other vehicles, but you do it with other people who own Jeep Wranglers." And I turn to my wife and I go, "I'm out." And I was. That's the deal breaker? Yeah, because I don't want to be like all...
I totally see that with Phil.
I didn't want to... I'm like, I don't need to be a part of that weird exclusive community.
The pressure.
Right.
Is it a Wrangler? Yeah.
Right. Like, that would be my primary focus while I'm driving, not on the rules of the road, but it's like, oh, no, there's another Jeep Wrangler coming at me. I got to give him that wave. How did that wave go again? I look at the diagram, two fingers out, and wave. Okay, we're good.
I cannot believe that's the deal breaker for you.
Couldn't do it.
I just saw someone. There are a lot of Toyota Highlanders on the roadway, and I got the pre-dawn mica, whatever that's the color. To me, it sounds like a fragrance. I know. It's taupe. I really wanted gray, more of a gunmetal gray, but this is kind of like gray with the sunrise in it. So pre-dawn.
And so I pulled up
next to a woman at a stoplight, exact same car, exact same color, and I was right next to her. So I was looking at her, she looked over to me, and I waved, and I pointed to the car, and she did the hands in the air like, what do you want?
Right.
But no one told me the two-finger salute.
Only on certain vehicles, only on a Volkswagen or a motorcycle, Kevin said, or a Jeep Wrangler. You can't just give that wave if you're not. They'll put you in the jail. You can't. Certain vehicles only, Wendy.
Well, you better reciprocate, too. If someone throws it to you, you better respond.
You better.
See, Bill didn't trust himself. That's why he couldn't buy the car. Too much pressure to keep my eyes on the road and to get the salute going.
It was a combination of that and just that I thought that that would steal my focus. Because, I, you know, when I'm driving, I like to focus on the road, not, oh, okay, there's a Jeep Wrangler coming there, and then there's another one a few blocks down. I got to have two waves ready.
I know what you mean, because I would become a little social director-like.
Right.
Oh, my God, got to keep my eyes out so I can do the salute.
Right.
No one told me about the salute. I'm really bummed. I had a Jeep for a year, not a Wrangler, though.
And no one did that to you? Oh, no, no. It's only for...
Not a Grand Cherokee?
No. You better... Don't even think about giving that wave in a Cherokee.
I'll just do the one-finger salute.
Have that one ready. Always have that one ready when you're driving. All right, a break. A lot more show. Bill and Wendy. Oh, Scott Darling will be on the show later on from the Blackhawks, and also the guy who plays Hamilton in Hamilton. Our local Hamilton will be joining us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. The discussion has turned toward waving for a while. If you had a certain car, you were forced, whether you wanted to or not, you had to wave at people in a similar type of a car.
Somebody is saying, in addition to the Jeep Wrangler, and Kevin mentioned a motorcycle, although you can't make that signal to a moped driver because that's not a real bike.
Right.
That's what someone texted.
That's
Kevin,
true.
Did you text that in?
Yes.
That is true.
And Steve Bertrand, I don't remember what kind of car he
Volkswagen.
Had. Oh, and that he also had the two-finger
similar
salute.
They just waved
to each other. I don't know if there's a special wave.
Do they?
They didn't fill you in.
You know the flower that's kept in the vase? Do they hold that out as if to say, if you like this flower, it's yours for the asking?
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
The little plastic flower?
Yeah, I mean, really.
Well, I don't know.
Why would you take away someone's joy, Wendy, if it gives them pleasure?
It's just so small in the cabin of a car, you'd think a flower would use up a third of your space. I don't want to give up all my space to a flower in the car.
I think it produces oxygen. It does do that.
It's not real.
What?
It's plastic. It gives plastic oxygen.
If you're driving a bug, don't you punch yourself as a slug bug? That's what you should
do. Slug bug blue. Oh! Why do I do that? Yeah.
That was a good punch.
Thank you.
You don't mess around, do you?
No.
You're a great actor.
Thank you.
Someone says Corvettes do that, too. The people do the two-finger salute. And the Mazda Miata. Is anybody still driving one of those?
Maybe salespeople now are just hip to the fact that when selling a car, as we've learned, any car, they just throw in that there's an exclusive wave that can only be done by car owners of that model, as if to say, you want in an exclusive club? Here's your exclusive club. Ready?
They're trying to make it a community. I know a lot of Jeep drivers do, like, participate in Jeep events.
Right.
And they do off-roading together, make s'mores together.
Right.
I don't like to do any of that.
Yeah.
Just because of the car. I will do that if you're a nice person, but not just because of the car you drive.
There's always a split second if you're at a stoplight or you park next to a car that is the same make and model and color because you go, wow, we have the same taste. But then there's...
And then you look at her wife and go, oh, my God.
Right. You're sitting there like, wow, that guy bought my car?
Right.
What does that say?
Well, that says a lot about him or something terrible about me, I guess. But you don't, there's nothing else to do it. Like, once you've determined we have similar tastes, there's no reason to go
any further.
Right.
But the lady, I waved to her and pointed to my car, and she looked at me like, what do you
want? She
wanted
nothing to do with you.
It's like, come on, man. Amigos.
Right. Right.
Somebody also said that, you know, we were talking about you have to wave to train engineers.
You're supposed to, yes.
In charge of the choo-choo.
That's right.
Or the locomotive.
Yeah.
Don't forget to wave at people on tractors.
Do you do that? I don't know if you do that.
I'm
do
not
you?
On a farm that much. Bertrand, did you wave to people like farmers on tractors when you were riding by on your bike?
Absolutely, yeah. Kind of a friendly thing.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with waving.
I know, Orion. I'll just do that as I drive by.
But you know, the tractor's so loud, you just mouth it.
Right, right.
And I said how the, you know, everyone knows how the smile is contagious, but it really is kind of a nice little feeling when someone's looking at you. Like, I'm not really good with the revolving doors. I always do a stutter step. I cannot time it perfectly. I think too much sometimes. Yeah. I know everyone's shocked with that one.
No.
And so, like, sometimes I will see someone right at the revolving doors,
yeah,
and they're just looking at me with, like, what are you doing? So then I smile, and they smile back, and I've changed their mood. And check this out. Somebody shopped at Jewel on Thanksgiving. I thanked every employee I saw for working on Thanksgiving Day. I received huge smiles from every single one, and several of the employees said that I made their day. One was near tears and said that no one has ever thanked her for working on Thanksgiving Day before.
Really?
See, my feeling about that is a little different. I'm sheepish going in there on Thanksgiving because it's because of me that they have to work,
no,
you know?
But Steve, if you...
No, my husband too, when I forget the extra chicken broth.
Oh.
There's always those last minute trips of something you've forgotten.
But you can't take blame because if whether or not you walked into that store, they were still scheduled to work.
Yeah, but if they weren't making any... If no one was shopping on Thanksgiving, they wouldn't have to work.
I guess.
But everybody forgets something, though, every year.
Yeah.
Then you have, you know...
But you don't do your whole shopping Thanksgiving morning. It's always because...
Oh, no, I grab every Thanksgiving. No one's in there. It's great. There are no lines.
There was a Christmas when my daughters were little that we didn't have the... We had a bunch of batteries, but they weren't the right kind of batteries for whatever we bought them. So I had to run to 7-Eleven, and I'm in line. And
pay triple for them?
Yes. Batteries shouldn't be $40 for batteries. So there are four people in line, myself included. Three of the four of us were buying batteries. And when I got up there, I said, you guys are just, this is like a battery. He goes, all day, every day. He goes, all day, batteries, batteries, batteries. But on Christmas Day, he said, that's about half of what we sell is batteries.
I believe it. I would say three quarters of what they sell. And ice, bags of ice and batteries.
Right.
I'm going to open up a shop.
That's all you'll sell.
Just be open on the holidays.
You're going to make a mint.
I know I will. Mini Cooper drivers do that too.
So basically, we've learned every car does it. They tell us that it's...
No one's ever told me, and I've had various cars. I want to belong to a community of wavers.
No. You keep picking the one car, I think, that doesn't have a special wave. But is the special wave always that same two-finger... It's almost like a military wave, but it's coming off your steering wheel, kind of. Hello, I have the same car as you. Whoopee-doo. I'm an adult that just said whoopee-doo.
You're not an adult. Different waves for Harleys and the big steel bikes versus the crotch rockets.
Oh, all right.
Kevin, your thoughts on that? There is a different vibe going between Harley drivers.
Well, sure, but I always under the understanding that it was just one standard wave for all motorcycle riders.
I can't see somebody in a non-Harley getting any kind of... Like, if you're driving a Neon and you go past a Harley and you give them a wave, would they even react to that?
Who has a Neon?
I'm driving a Harley. I don't have time for you.
What's a Neon? The car?
Yeah.
They won't even look at you.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be like, please.
This is bike to bike. Toot the horn to wave to semi-drivers. You know, do you do the old,
right,
like, pull down... Doot, doot.
That was the thing. If you were ever taking a field trip, you would pray.
From the bus.
Oh, I hope we pass by a truck so we could all do that thing. And then they would always oblige you.
I know.
Honk that big horn.
Do you wave to kids in a school bus if they're like in front of you or passing you on the expressway? Because I do. They're all staring out the window. I expect somebody to moon me. It's never happened yet, but I'm waiting. But they all look out, and I just wave without them even waving, and then they get all excited.
Yeah.
And you hear them, you see them tap the friend next to them and go, hey, that lady just laid at us.
Waves. I think you should stop now.
All right.
The part of middle-aged lady waving at bus full of kids got me, but as soon as you pulled that out, I'm like, I can't.
I got tripped up because I'm not really a lady. That's what I was going to say.
That's what it is. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a whole big show for you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Really quickly, before we get on to some new business, we were talking about, well, a myriad of things at the beginning of the show, but mostly how if you go to a store like a 7-Eleven type store on Christmas Day, pretty much everybody's in there buying batteries, and a listener had a great text.
They texted, how about a battery vending machine?
Brilliant.
That's genius.
Why don't they have that? That would be the perfect thing to have.
I would just buy one and put it out in front of my house.
Right. You can do that. It's your house. You can do whatever you want. Wendy, do you have a place in your heart for a new superstar? There's a new superstar on the horizon. I'm only hoping and praying there's room in your heart for him or her.
There's always room for someone new.
Yep. This new superstar, and we'll play a little sample of their work, is the son of David Beckham. Right. The hottest soccer star in the world. Sorry, Pele, but you know it's true. And Victoria Beckham, who, in my opinion, is one of the five best of the girls.
The Spice Girls that you couldn't even remember. Was she posh?
I think you're speaking from the 1980s Wayback Machine.
Yes, I am. That's exactly where I am. Sherman and Peabody have given me the keys.
Was she posh Spice? God, that's bad. I don't really know.
I think so.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah, that's them. I know she was not scary.
Neither was Scary wasn't that scary
she
either.
Was not Allspice. That's the other one I know.
Baby Spice?
That was Emma Bunton.
Which one was Old Spice?
Their manager. She was Posh Spice.
Well, their kid, Cruz Beckham, is 11 years old, but the music world is embracing him, and they want to sign him to multi-million-dollar contracts, including, by the way, Simon Cowell. They're
knocking
each other.
Simon's just doing that to get his name mentioned. I've had it with Simon Cowell.
Well, people in the music business are knocking each other over to get to this kid. He's 11 years old.
Is he good? Like a musician, singer?
Well, he put out, I looked on YouTube last night. I found the story last night, and I found some early stuff of him. Now, he's 11, so by early stuff, I mean April. He put out some things in April. But the big news is he has a Christmas song that he released just an hour ago.
Perfect timing.
So can we play a little bit of his Christmas carol song that just came out? It's called If Every Day Was Christmas, and it's Cruz Beckham. And keep in mind, he's 11 years old.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right, here it is.
Very techno.
Yes.
If every day was Christmas and I can be with you underneath the mistletoe, kiss you when nobody knows. If every day was Christmas and there'll be gifts all year and everything I wish for will be here. I don't ever want today to leave or ever change. I wouldn't mind the winter snow if the season stayed the same. If I had a wish, it would be simple and true. I wish every day was Christmas with you.
All right, so that's it.
I think it's good.
If this were The Voice, would you have spun your chair around?
This kid's really good. I have a couple of comments.
Sure.
One, if you like the sound of a little kid who sounds like a girl, because he hasn't reached puberty yet. But I don't like the auto-tune, and you can hear in a couple of spots the auto-tune,
almost,
and that bugs me.
Almost throughout, you can hear that.
But honestly, he's trying to be like the new Singular Hanson. Go for it. He's not pitchy, thanks to the auto-tune.
Right.
It's not bad.
Right.
I'm sure the light's all over it right now playing it.
Right. Every 15 minutes.
Right.
It's not horrible.
It's not horrible. I mean, I don't like listening. Little kids listening to them sing make me smile, but it's not like something I would listen to on my own time.
Did you notice that song is All I Want for Christmas Is You, but it's out of order? Like
Did he write this too?
I don't think he wrote this.
It did sound very familiar.
But if you know the song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey does a version, several people do versions of it. It's almost identical to that, but it's scrambled.
Like Yeah, it did sound very familiar to me. It sounds like a baby Mariah Carey.
Yes, it does.
Which is pleasant.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I wouldn't.
Right. You wouldn't go out of your way to see a baby Mariah Carey. I'm going to have a weird dream tonight. I just realized you just set me up for a strange dream. Yeah, it's not. It's far from horrible.
Somebody says, really, Wendy, it sucks. No, it does. I mean, again, this isn't
listenable.
Something I'd listen to.
Right. But you don't have a best of all 11-year-old singers, crooners.
It's so weird when I hear a kid sing. It usually makes me cry because it's some, like, amazing child singing some really operatic type of tune.
Right.
This is just like, oh, that's cute. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's just there.
I agree with you. I'm sure you've sat through enough Christmas pageants or things at your kid's school where some kids kind of have a better singing voice than others, and you go, they should let that kid sing more. That kid's really good. The other kids are not as great, but that kid's really good. So I don't know if this kid, Cruz Beckham,
I don't think he's a phenom, but he's fine.
Right. But if his mom and dad were not David and Victoria Beckham, do you think that anybody would be listening to this song? Would this song even exist? Nobody would give this kid the time of day, right?
He'd put it on YouTube and probably get popular that way.
Right, maybe.
I don't care that Simon Cowell's involved in it. I mean, it does help to have the Beckham name.
Everyone in the music business, everyone is now, I got to have that. That kid has got to sign with me. I want Cruz Beckham.
All right, all I got to say is, where's Hanson now? And I like the Mbop song. I will admit it.
Right.
I'm sorry, guilty pleasure.
Remember a week ago, this was off air, you and I were talking about the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
And I never thought I'd say this to myself, much less on the radio. Not bad. One of the kids was on Saturday Night Live last year. Yeah, Nick Jonas was on Saturday Night Live last year. And I go, oh, all right, that's not terrible.
I hated that. I liked him.
I know.
He was funny. He was good in the sketches. And I'm listening to him sing, and it's like, hey, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, not going to go out and buy his albums,
right.
His record albums.
Right. But listenable, right? You could do a lot worse. All the predictions, here's a little bit of a background story. Well, let's take a break, and I'll give you a little bit of background. This is the music you just heard is Cruz Beckham, the son of David and Victoria Beckham.
Sorry, my alarm just went off.
Oh, I should get up. Wendy, wake up. All right, so more after this. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, that's the call-in and the text line. It's Bill and Wendy, who's just waking up on WGN. This is Cruz Beckham. He's 11 years old. He's the son of David Beckham, the world's favorite soccer player, and then Victoria Beckham, who was one of the Spice Girls many years ago. Although they keep wanting to reunite. I don't know what's preventing that, but they keep saying, we want to reunite. Now, I said that I enjoyed Cruz Beckham's early work, which dates back to May. Here's a little bit of it. This is the Cups. Did you ever see the Cups song? Do you know what that is?
No.
I think it's called When I'm Gone, but you sing it and you hold a solo cup and you keep moving it up and down while you're singing.
Where'd you see this?
It's all I don't know. It's really popular. It's all over YouTube. Anna Kendrick did a version of this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this is Cruz Beckham back when he was a kid doing that song. Listen.
I got my ticket for the long way round. You got a whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. And I'm leaving tomorrow. What do you say? When I'm gone, no, when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me by my hair. You're gonna miss me everywhere. Oh, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
He's awesome.
He's gonna have a hard time getting girlfriends, Wendy. You know that. He's really attractive. His parents are very popular, successful. He's now got a music deal and he's 11. Good luck to you, Cruz.
All right, so that's why you bring this up. You want people to bash his singing because you're jealous of an 11-year-old?
No, not at all, not at all.
He has a great voice, and someone didn't know what auto-tune is. It's basically just kind of an electronic processor that will keep you on pitch.
Right.
So if you are going a little sour in a note, you run it through this auto tune and it'll pull it back a little to make it stay in tune. That's really what it is. And you can kind of hear it on that first song we played, his Christmas jam.
Yeah.
Where it just, the best example of an auto tune is Do You Believe in Love by Cher. Do you remember? Do you believe in love? It's auto-tune. That's
right.
That's what it does.
It brings you back into the range you're supposed to be.
So you're not pitchy.
Yeah.
But you can hear it happen. It's very electronic.
So you record something and you run it through auto-tune
like
and
a processor.
It fixes it. It puts you back on key.
I think they have microphones now, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong. They have microphones now that while you're singing live, it actually corrects the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the microphone or just like
a program that's,
you can definitely do it live.
But that cup challenge or whatever that is.
The cup song.
He has a great voice.
Yeah.
He's missing a couple teeth now in the Christmas song. Did you hear how he's kind of talking like that?
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
That's when you get prosthetic, you know, you get implants, just temporary implants.
Mom's got them. All those predictions about David and Victoria Beckham's son, Cruz, becoming the next Justin Bieber are about to come true, it says on digitalspy.com. That's a music website. The Beckham clan has been showcasing their 11-year-old's musical gifts all year long on social media, and now he's officially taking it to the next level with his first single. That's the song you just heard, the Christmas song. Not just any single, David has announced that Cruz will reveal the festive song, If Every Day Was Christmas, on Wednesday morning. That's today. That's why we played it. Set your alarms bright and early, it says. You definitely won't want to miss the dawning of the Cruz Beckham pop music era. That's what we're in right now. That started this morning. It says, okay, we may be hyping it just a bit too much, but all the hoopla really is good. Since sales of If Every Day Was Christmas will benefit Global's Make Some Noise organization. And it's British because it's spelled with an S instead of a Z, an organization. This funds charities all across the UK. The track is produced by Rodney Jerkins. I'm not sure who that is. He has worked with icons such as Michael Jackson, Rihanna, Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, and the Spice Girls.
I wonder why the Spice Girls are in on that.
I wonder why. It really is a renaissance era for the Beckhams as the next generation follow into their famous parents' footsteps. They have two kids or three kids, do you know?
Doesn't matter now. This is the talented one.
Okay. 17-year-old Brooklyn has already filled in Dad on the pitch.
Why is he on the pitch?
Is the pitch like The Voice? Is that the British
Voice? That would be my guess.
And is one of the top young models working today. She's also done a bit of rapping, it says. I've not heard her work.
Rapping Christmas presents?
Yeah. Yes. Rapping with a W. Now with Cruz stepping into Victoria's arena, the pop music world, we're just sitting here wishing that we had inherited some of the gifted Beckham genes as well. That, again, according to Digital Spy. So you heard it. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's far from the worst thing in the world.
I think it's good.
It's
just not
you
up my
buy
out.
It,
no, because I'm 53 years old.
Right.
That would be weird.
Right.
That would be really weird.
Would you wave at him in a bus as it passed by? You would. Okay.
He'd wave back, too.
Yeah, I bet he would.
He is a really cute kid. I think you just bring this up. You want to trash him because you're jealous.
I don't want to trash him at all. I'm just reporting on the story. That it's weird that an 11-year-old kid is offered a record deal. That doesn't happen much.
Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
he was a little older.
But that's two out of how many people venture into the music waters. It's
Tiffany.
Very, very rare.
She was older than that,
she was
she?
A little older.
And where is she now? Still singing at malls?
Yeah. She can find a mall. Yeah. She's still out there. So, no, I wish him nothing but the best. It's just...
I don't believe you.
I'm curious as to whether if his parents aren't who they are, I don't think this gets any attention at all.
Well, I don't... I mean, look at Honey Boo Boo.
I'd rather not. Do I have to?
No.
I don't want to.
I think he's got a good voice. It's, you know, this whole voice is going to change, though. That's
right.
Why it's different. Remember Peter Brady?
Yes.
When it's time to change, I know they incorporated it into the Brady Kids Act.
So should Cruz Beckham do an updated version of that? Would you like to hear that? Would that turn you around? Would you buy it if he did that?
No. Bill, this kid will never be an Elvis.
Well, nobody will ever be Elvis. The days, anytime somebody comes up and people say that's the next Elvis or that's the next Beatles, that's the kiss of death. How many people in our lifetime have people said that about? I bet this guy's going to be the next Sinatra, the next Elvis, the next Beatles. It's impossible.
It is.
You can't be those guys anymore.
Somebody said that we should auto-tune your Jake Arrieta song.
All right.
You were in tune. It's just if it makes it shorter.
Right.
Kevin's going to maybe fiddle with that.
Do they have an auto-shortening option on there?
We'll come up with a new program. That and a battery vending machine. We're going to solve all the world's problems today on this show.
We're going to be so rich. All right, here's what we need to do. We'll take a break. Steve will give you the news. After the news, I have not seen Hamilton, and you have not seen Hamilton.
We're the only two people.
The star of Hamilton, the Chicago version of Hamilton, will join us. Miguel Cervantes and his wife Kelly are here. Later on in the show, Scott Darling, the Blackhawks goalie, who had an incredible game in net last night, a 4-0 win over Arizona. So all that's coming up.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by providence, impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
I swear to God, we are the only two people in all of the land that have not seen Hamilton.
We cannot get tickets. We're not even allowed to play that clip. That's how exclusive this show is. Miguel Cervantes is here. He plays Alexander Hamilton in a little show called Hamilton. Perhaps you've heard of it. His wife, Kelly Cervantes, is here as well. We'll talk about the show and a charity they're involved in. It's great to meet both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Is this a dream come true, what's happening right
now? It wasn't even a dream. It was something that was so not even on the radar of possibilities. I had auditioned once a year and a half ago, and went in, did the thing, did a couple of numbers, and thank you very much. That's all what happened. So that's how that story ended for me in Hamilton. I became a fan just like everybody else, and begging my friends for tickets, and then
we're gonna beg you later.
Yeah, well, now you got an inside track here. And then come May of this year, they called again, and I said, well, I know how this story ends. We've already done this, and I had already seen the show, and I was, just like everybody else. And three auditions later, I called my wife and said, so we're moving to Chicago. And I was going to be Hamilton. It couldn't have been more sort of a shock to the system. It was just not something that I had already put it to bed. I already put it on the shelf. I didn't.
Really?
And then.
Never say never.
Never say never. I guess that's the lesson here, right?
It is. You've been in various other plays before. I'm a big Green Day fan. I saw you were in The American Idiot.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing that I had done up until this thing, where I started from the beginning and we got to meet the guys and we built that thing from the ground up. I started at the very, very beginning, and that was such a cool experience. And we were for 1 year of my life, we were rock. We were punk rock stars. as much as a punk rock star can be on Broadway 8 times a week.
Right.
But it did feel, and the band was, and my 12-year-old self, playing air drums with Dookie was beside himself to hang out with Billy Joe and them. So it was a great experience.
You mentioned that as big a stars as punk could be on Broadway, things have changed so tremendously. I have a senior in high school, a boy who's trying out for Jesus Christ Superstar at his high school play coming up in a couple months, and I said there are so many cool, unique shows that are out there now. Book of Mormon, SpongeBob the Musical. It's not like the same old stuffy stuff that used to be going on.
Yeah, something about Hamilton that is so shocking is how it is affecting young people. How these young people just know all the words, and they're so involved and they're invested in the story. It feels like that's the way that this whole industry should be going, because these are the people who are going to be growing up and wanting to see this stuff and know this stuff. So to involve them and to excite them and to sort of make them inspire to do more and see more or write more or something is the way it's going to go. And so all these shows that sort of involve a younger demographic and a younger crowd, I think is going to be
awesome.
a really great path for sort of the industry, this Broadway world and musical theater to go.
It's changed.
As a whole, yeah.
Explain this for those of us who have not been lucky enough to see this on paper. And I'll never forget when I first heard the news, they're going to do a musical and it'll be based on Alexander Hamilton. You say to yourself, too bad. Because I don't know. Who's gonna need to see that?
You're a prophet, you know that?
Wait, it's got
The president, right? Hamilton, the president, right? That's what we all thought.
Right. The president who never was president.
Yeah.
All right. So then you go, but it'll be, they'll wrap it. And you go, okay, well, maybe that might be more interesting. And it'll have a diverse cast and nobody will really be like the guys they're portraying. And you go, that's weird. Okay. So everything seems to be just a little bit off. And yet, it's knocked Broadway down. So what's going on?
You know, I think it sort of is the thing of you know, Lynn created this thing that the country was ready for, that didn't really know. You know, we needed to change the way that Broadway sounded.
Yeah.
We needed to change the way that Broadway looked. We needed to change the way that people received the messages and the sound. So, you know, while you say, well, this isn't the way that it was, you know, one of my favorite thing is he said, this is the story of America that looks like the way America is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the most important thing. So now it may have been the thing that makes it different, or it was different, but now the goal is that this is the way that it should be.
Yes.
This is the way that it will be.
Yeah.
And so that's the important thing of what we're trying to say is, you know, look, this is who we are. This is what we look like. This is our voice. And I think it makes our message that much more powerful, you know?
Are you surprised that it has taken off this much?
I don't think surprise is the right word. It's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon mm-hmm. that just is unexplainable. To understand how far it reaches, how it affects people, and all, you know, I get messages from people about, you know, how it's changed their life and how they've been affected by the words and the story and the whole thing, and it's shocking. It really is shocking how far reaching the effect has been, and you know, so it's almost inconceivable about how.
Sure.
How people receive it, you know?
What an impact it's made on everyone.
Absolutely.
Young, old, every race,
absolutely.
Religion, yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Kelly, being an actor, being the family of an actor is not always the easiest thing because it's a roller coaster ride. You're riding high, you're riding low,
yeah.
You never know from time to time. How has Miguel changed since he's gotten the role of Hamilton? Is he just walking around the house rapping everything at this point?
he has not changed at all.
Not at
and
all.
I say that completely and totally honestly.
Wow.
You know, there was, we did have a moment where he was walking around with headphones in, constantly listening to the album as he was trying
sure.
to memorize all 26,000 words.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah.
So that we did have a moment of that. And then we did have a moment of when we moved to Chicago and he really had to get it into his bones and figure out how to perform this and how to preserve his voice. And you know, there's something when you're leading a show like this that's akin to being a professional athlete or running a marathon and being able to do that, you know, 7 out of 8 shows a week is something you really have to learn. So we did have about a month where he was figuring that out. And I was like, okay, you can just go and be in the other room.
I was a pleasure to be around is what she's saying.
Sure. It's understandable.
But other than that, I think one of the most incredible things about Miguel is that he has always taken all of his successes or even failures in stride.
Yeah.
And I think he's just an incredibly level-headed person. And, you know, while I think the other piece of this is that while all of this has been going on, we've also had a very grounding experience with our daughter who was diagnosed with epilepsy at the exact same time that he found out about this. So
the bittersweet moment of life, isn't
it?
Yeah.
It was a crazy month. You know, you ask me if it's a dream come true, to happen. It was also the nightmare the same day as I was going in to audition for the 25. Lin-Manuel was there. The producers, Jeffrey, everybody was there. I left my daughter at the hospital hooked up to her EEGs to go and give everything I had for the biggest job in the entire world,
right?
You know, in musical theater. So there is a sense of, like she said, a grounding sense that while this is the, you know, it's pretty sexy to be Hamilton, it is not the only, it's not the biggest thing in my life. It's not the only, it's not the thing that I focus 100% of my mind and my heart to, because it sort of is a, you know, avenue in which I can really help and support my daughter.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we're doing, to sort of use this Hamilton thing as a platform to talk about this other thing, you know?
Sure. We need to take a break, and we are going to talk more about what you're going through and how we can help.
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm gonna get a scholarship.
Sometimes I think, Bill, that people are just plotting against us, and maybe it's not really a good musical, and everybody's just in on the secret, because you and I are the only ones who haven't seen Hamilton. Miguel Cervantes is Alexander Hamilton. His wife, Kelly Cervantes, is with us as well. And let's talk about your kids for a minute. We were talking off the air. Miguel, you had mentioned, just as you're auditioning for this role, your daughter, Adelaide, was diagnosed with epilepsy. It changes your life first and foremost when you have kids, but then when your kid is hurting, that changes everything more, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a whole priority shift. You know, like you were saying, the ability to go on the tour, or you go do, you know, something fun anywhere, it sort of, those things go away, because now you're starting to raise a family. You need something a little bit more stable, you know, the life. And then to have a kid who's sick, to have some sort of a situation, changes the priorities are now, you know, 100% focused there,
right?
And everything else has to be supporting of that. And so we have, you know, been blessed. Hamilton, you say, was it a dream come true? Yeah, but it was also the answer to a prayer that we were just forming, because we didn't really know how we were going to deal with this. We didn't know what this was going to be.
Yeah,
we didn't know how this was going to play out. And then Hamilton comes along, and Chicago comes along, and Lurie is an amazing place. And so we got to pick up the family, come here, and begin these two journeys sort of simultaneously. The Hamilton journey along with her epilepsy journey. And both of them, we don't know how they're going to end.
Yeah.
And hopefully they, you know, both end with great successes. But, you know, it's just the unknown part of how this is all going. And the emotional battle in my head as it was all going on is a crazy thing.
How is Adelaide doing right now?
So she's had a really great couple of weeks.
Yeah. How old is she?
She is 13 months.
Aww.
That's sort of how epilepsy, and, you know, in talking with a bunch of other parents, that's kind of how it goes. You won't necessarily have 2 weeks that are the same, maybe not even 2 days that are the same. So it's a constant roller coaster where you're trying to figure out the right meds. You know, Adelaide's on a special diet. She's on several different meds. I've talked to parents who have gone through 19 different medications trying to find one that worked. So there's, you know, you hear about a lot of different medications, medical marijuana, surgery, implants, this, that, and the other. But the truth of the matter is that there is no cure for epilepsy. You can try and treat it with all of these different medications, but Adelaide has been diagnosed with infantile spasms, which is Infantile Spasms Awareness Week. I recommend everyone go and take a look. It's a really difficult type of epilepsy to diagnose. And it is also a really difficult form of epilepsy to treat.
They do diagnose epilepsy so much easier now than they did in years past. My uncle had it, and as a child, they had no idea exactly what he had. They knew he had something, but they didn't know it was epilepsy. It took years to figure that out. But you're right, just figuring out the degree of the epilepsy, what kind it is, that still takes some time sometimes, huh?
And the cause, too. I might be getting the statistic wrong, but I believe it's 30% of people who have epilepsy will not find out the cause for their epilepsy. So we don't know why Adelaide has it. We've done so many genetic tests. We've done MRIs. We've done just about every test under the sun that you can. And we don't know why, what the cause is. And if you don't know the cause, it makes it increasingly more difficult to treat.
It's just one of these things where we're in 2016, we're supposed to know everything, the doctors know everything, and they're still learning about the brain and why these things happen and how it all works together. It's still an unknown. You know, for all we know, we could be the lucky recipients of a brand new genetic problem that hasn't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the unknown part of this is a tough thing. And that's why these people at Cure are amazing, because they're looking to find these things out. They want to find out a way to stop this and stop and not just treat it and not live with it, but to stop it. And that's sort of, you know, that's what these parents, you know, Susan and David are, their parents, and they put this thing together to find a way to help, maybe not themselves, because, you know, they've been living with it, and maybe not us, but for some people, so that they can find out,
yeah,
you know, more specifically what's going on, you know.
Miguel and Kelly are partnering with CURE, as you mentioned, which stands for Citizens United for Research in Epilepsy. And you're launching this new campaign, My Shot at Epilepsy. You can go to myshotatepilepsy.org and register to win a fantastic, tell us about this, because I want to win it.
Hey, well, you know, Hamilton tickets are tough to come by. I don't know if you heard about this. But so there's a raffle. We're having a raffle. I think a $25 raffle tickets to enter in. One of the prizes is two tickets in the good seats.
Mm.
And you come back, say hello to myself and a few of the other cast members, get the VIP tour around the set and all the inner workings of Hamilton. The other one is a caroling tour. So before Christmas, we'll pick a little spot and go sing some Hamilton, perhaps some Hamilton influenced carols.
Oh, nice!
Around town.
Jolly old King Wenceslas, hey, look down.
I'm talking to Lynn. We're gonna get a little. And then the final one is gonna be this isn't a raffle. This is actually a silent auction situation. But you know, the people in the show, the cast is an unbelievably talented group of people.
Sure.
So if you can see them do Hamilton and what they do up there, that's enough. But this is going to be a bunch of us doing some like a cabaret style show of just other stuff that they've done and
oh,
other
that'll
people.
Be great.
So a private concert, dinner party, or some sort of venue like that. And so that's for some deeper pockets to come and to get us to come to do that. And so that's also part of the deal. And all these proceeds go directly to CURE.
Adelaide, we wish her the best. You also have Jackson, son.
Yep.
Four years old.
Has he come and seen the show? He's seen it, right?
So I took him to a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
He made it about three quarters of the way through the first act. And then in the middle of Theodosia, this like ballad lullaby, he turns around. He goes, Mommy, I want to go home now.
Oh, no.
Top of his voice. I was like, yep, that's pretty good. We made it.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a good long stretch. But he loves it. He leads Not Throwing Away My Shot in his preschool right now.
Oh, really?
He leads it to all the kids. I think they chant Hamilton, Hamilton, and they'll play My Shot at the thing. He's when Daddy goes to work, I go do My Shot.
Daddy goes to do my shot.
Yeah, I said, yeah, buddy, I'm going to do My Shot.
We asked you off the air about, do you ever just go blank all of a sudden up on stage? I know the show must go on. Do you just fill in the line somewhere,
kind of. It's maybe Lynn could make up some words. Yeah, he's really good at that sort of freestyling thing. I'm not quite that good. We're real people and real things happen. And sometimes, you know, whatever happens, happens. And there are definitely times when I will be saying this word thinking that I don't know what the next word is. And then it just comes out usually. And I have to stop thinking that way or it doesn't come out. You know, I was doing the number Say No to This the other day, a couple weeks ago. And I looked at Sam on stage and I said, you know, Lord, show me how to say no to this. No to this. And that's what I said. The actual words that I said. And, you know, I started sweating and started, you know, trying to figure out where I was in the song.
Oh,
and we wrapped ourselves back into it. But, you know, it's a live theater. It's a live thing. Anything could go wrong. Anything could happen at any time. The turntables could not move or the lights could stop or sound could go out. And you just have to sort of, you know,
yes,
the people that day get a special show.
Yes.
You know, that's their. There's no way that there's not always the chance of something just not coming out the way that it's supposed to, and it's terrifying and thrilling all at the same time.
That's what this year has been for the two of you, hasn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah,
2016 has been quite a year for both of you. I'm so happy for you for so many different reasons. This show is the show of the century. I wrote a musical, Hamilton, about Margaret Hamilton, who plays the Wicked Witch of the West in Wizard of Oz, and no one's seeing my show because of your show. I'm not bitter at all. I'm happy for you guys.
And thank you so much for coming out and talking about CURE, Citizens United for Research in Epilepsy. There are parents out there who have children where something's not quite right. They don't know what to do. They don't know who to turn to. So talking about it helps people learn about it. Everyone can go to myshot.com. at epilepsy.org, but thank you for sharing your story about little sweet Adelaide.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everybody.
Thrilled to. Have a great holiday. It's Miguel and Kelly Cervantes. Go see Hamilton. And again, give a website for people who want more information.
Yep. So it's www.myshotatepilepsy.org, and it'll take you to the Cure website as well, where you can get more information.
Perfect. Thanks so much, both of you. Appreciate
it. Wait, what
much.
About our tickets?
Oh, the tickets?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to call my people. We'll call your people.
Back the truck up. Right. That'll be perfect. Thanks, guys. A quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, Dane, I want to thank you for filling in for me when I was out last Friday. And I've been missing you because you fill in when I'm gone. And
yeah.
Bill, now I'm here and Dane's here and he brought special guests.
Hi, Dane. How are you? Dane Neal, by the way, the star, as he insists we say, of the Dane Neal Show and also on accessappetite.com.
I used to be the star of the Brad Johnson Show. It just didn't feel right.
No. You made a wise career decision. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fine. You have brought in some very important guests.
Yeah, some familiar faces. Of course, there's oftentimes we'll sit down here and there are people because you guys with your illustrious radio careers have run into some great personalities in Chicagoland. And today is no exception. Of course, Tony Montuano, James Beard Award winner, Bartoma, you know, Spiaggia, and of course River Roast, and then John Hogan, executive chef over at River Roast. You know him from Everest, from Kiki's Bistro. These guys are acclaimed guys. They have collaborated for River Roast, and they're here in studio.
Hi, guys. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Nice to see you again. I see you brought alcohol. Let's whip that out right away.
It's noon somewhere.
I think it's 7 o'clock somewhere. Is it noon somewhere?
5 o'clock.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Spin that globe, Bill.
Dane just gave some of your credits, and that is quite an impressive list. This is a debate that goes on, and it doesn't take us long to determine this. Chicago is one of not just the country's best food cities, it's one of the world's best food cities, isn't it?
Without question.
Yeah. How did we get there?
I think that it all goes back to guys like Jean Bonchet and Jovan Trbojevic, these guys who are sort of, they've sort of been forgotten by the next generation, and they were the trailblazers. They're the ones that really put Chicago on the map. I mean, in Wheeling, Illinois, Jean Bonchet had private jets flying in from all over the world. So they really set a precedent for guys like Charlie Trotter and, you know, on and on. So.
It's interesting to see. And, of course, these guys have been doing it for decades, not to embarrass them and how much they have they've been seasoned, right, and been sharing, of course, great names here in Chicago now. But before we got into the studio, and we were going to talk about, and we still will, all the great stuff happening at River Roast, the events coming up, the chef collaborations. But it is interesting to see. You know, we have for a number of years, you know, talked about the explosion of the chef culture. And, of course, Chicago's, I think, at least awareness as far as a position of one of the great food towns in America, maybe the world. But there is so much that happened before we had all of the, before the Dane Neal Show,
right?
Before all those, before Food Network, before there was, before people thought of being a chef as more than just one of those kind of industrial functions where you could have great people doing great things. You just didn't have the apparatus to kind of share those stories. And it's really great to have these guys say, that's one of the things that needs to be done, is to kind of carry that torch of the people who paved the way for people like Charlie Trotter, whereas that's kind of where, you know, the book starts in a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
I love to cook, and you know, I always watch Julia Child and The Frugal Gourmet, and who else am I missing? I guess, was Emeril one of the first ones on the Food Network?
Yeah, he kept the lights on there for a long time.
Galloping Gourmet.
Oh, yeah.
Graham Kerr.
Justin Wilson.
I guarantee.
I love to cook, and I always would pretend that I was a chef, and I bought my own little salt cellar. I think I spent $98 on a Peugeot pepper mill. Just because it was black lacquer and it looked good on my my counter. But we all, I mean, now chefs are rock stars. I mean, face it. We all want to be you.
Well, I don't know about all that, but it definitely beats working for a living. So.
So TV fueled this, right? Somehow TV picked up on the fact that that's an interesting story. The chef story is an interesting one, and it upped the game for everybody, kind of.
I think between television and social media, definitely has blown up the industry quite a bit.
It's something that has been around as long as, you know, unless, you know, we're on an IV drip or whatever. Eating, right, has been around. And for whoever you were, whoever was providing that best food was probably an important person in the community going all the way back to the caveman days. But guys, I'm wondering, right, was there some kind of switch that just flipped where all of a sudden people started looking at you guys doing what you do at a high level even differently?
I think for sure it's all goes, you can trace it all to television.
Yeah.
Now you can turn on your, you know, television 24 hours a day and there's a chef or some sort of food show or best something on a lot of different channels. So that's where it all started. But it's like the consciousness now, like you want to do a great event, you want to plan something, you want to do a fundraiser, anything, chefs are always involved at some level because it's where we've come.
One of the things that's happening is they're asking these guys to do more and more things, whether it's more concepts, different kinds of cuisine. So they got together and they created River Roast. So guys, talk a little bit about, I know you brought some of the charcuterie in that you guys do on a regular basis. And then one of the very cool things, other than, of course, the ambiance, location, and you guys, is the fact that you do these collaborations once a month where you bring in an outside chef, or sometimes it's you, Tony, right? And you get in there and you do some things differently.
I think, John, you tell it best.
Okay. Well, the story of River Roast. Tony and I went to England about 4 or 5 years ago, ate in some roast houses, which is a very typical London-type concept where the menu is very limited to roasted meats. And we said, nobody's doing this. So we brought it back to Chicago. And the beauty of the concept to me is it takes the focus off of your individual plate, and it puts it on the center of the table. And what it is, it's like going to your mom's or your grandma's for dinner on Sunday nights, 7 nights a week.
Oh. And these roasts are carved table sides. So not only does it, after it's carved, you know, more is put in the center of the table, as John says, but there's a show. It rolls up to your table in a cart, and then we're carving a table side.
And it's very interactive with the guests and the people carving the roasts. And a man pointed out to me a few months ago, he said, John, look around your dining room. What do you see? And I said, I see a full dining room, which is great.
Yeah.
But he goes, nobody's on their cell phone.
Oh, very nice.
Well, because they're watching they're anticipating the next move.
They're involved in the meal.
It's like a family dinner.
It's a family dinner. You're not allowed on your cell phone. Stay off your cell
phone. Awesome.
Get your eyes on the center of the table and eye to eye to the guests at the table and make it an interactive, home-style, fun experience.
And they mentioned home-style and fun and entertainment, and you guys do that too. For some of these collaborations, not only do you have the food front and center, but also sometimes events, music. I know you did an event with for Blues, River Roast Blues, which was great. So you add in some extra entertainment elements.
Yeah. The Blues are available every weekend, Saturday, Sunday brunch, and 2 Thursday nights a month. And it's all the great blues players in Chicago. And it's, again, to me, blues, you go back to the origin of the blues, Mississippi, Sunday afternoon supper.
Right, not dinner, supper.
Not dinner. You go to church, you'd have supper, and then the guys would get on the porch and start playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of
beautiful,
what's going on.
Beautiful. We'll take a quick break. Dane Neal is here. He's the host of the Dane Neal Show.
Yeah.
Tony Montuano and John Hogan, two of the giants of the restaurant business here in Chicago, certainly. We'll take a quick break and then more in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and we're talking food with Dane Neal, and we have royalty in studio, Tony Montuano and John Hogan, two of the best that ever was in the restaurant business here in Chicago. The big night coming up on December 19th, correct?
Yeah, let's talk about it, guys. Of course, and we'll have some of the charcuterie that we can try and talk a little bit about the wine, but once a month you guys do special dinners, and the 19th is coming up.
Yeah, so John and I thought, let's invite some of our friends that are in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood can be greater Chicagoland, and they come in, and one night a month we cook a dinner together with them. So John was nice enough to invite me in on December 19th. Thank you, John. And we're going to do these green circle chickens, which have feet and heads.
What?
And I'm like so excited about it.
Most chickens have feet and heads at some point.
Did I see it on a skewer
process
on your website, maybe?
Maybe.
No?
I'm not sure how that got there.
It's not there.
So
it's not there.
There's
something else
on
that doesn't look like an animal I'm familiar with, but whatever.
You would eat them as well? You would eat the chicken head and the chicken feet?
I'm not going to eat the head.
Who would eat that? that?
I don't know.
It's for presentation. Would you?
Yeah. Tony would.
As our friend Wendy, Tony Fitzpatrick, says, Hogan eats stuff that most people call the Orkin man for.
God love you, Tony.
Is that an acquired taste, though, Tony?
You know what? I was raised in a Catholic Irish family where Mom cooked the dinner for an army every day, and it was, thanks, Mom, it was good.
Yeah.
But she used to ask me, where in the H-double-E hockey sticks did you get this affection for fine food?
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from. It just was in there somewhere and had to be brought out.
There's no meat on a head.
Nah,
can I just tell if you're eating a chicken head?
Yeah, but a little head's good every now and then, Wendy.
See, you know, look what happens. I'm telling you.
Let's not get too far off track.
But so wait, I want to find out now. So you have roast chicken, roast beef, roast pork. What kind? What other meats are?
Fish and whole roasted. We do a vegan roast vegetable dish, which right now is like an acorn squash stuff with Brussels sprouts and pearl onions and carrots and parsnips and all the winter vegetables.
The place was built for the roast chicken, and I will go on record as saying it's the best roast chicken anywhere. And if you come in and try it, because most people don't cook their chickens to order because it takes too long.
Yeah.
What we have, an oven that has humidity and steam and really high heat. So the chickens come out super crisp.
Yeah.
When they carve them table side, you can hear the crack.
Oh,
as
my
the
God.
Night,
and
then you
salivating.
See the juices run out. So it is the best roast chicken ever. And that's why we built River Roast.
You put a sauce on that or you just eat it the way it is?
No sauce.
No, it doesn't need a sauce.
Is that good?
Yeah.
It's got a little smoke. We do a little apple smoke on it.
Yeah.
Don't give away all the secrets.
Well, so excited to cut.
A little, like we smoke them for 48 hours.
Right. It's so exciting to cut into a roast and see actual liquid come out of it because my aunt used to make our roast dinners, and I swear to God, it was like a shoe. Oh. I don't know what our parents did. No, but it's like everybody was so scared of eating meat with some pink in it that they would just overcook it, and it was like eating a leather shoe.
Yeah. This one. When you cut into the breast, it's just the juices are running over the potatoes underneath in the vessel. It's unbelievable.
Well, the chicken is legendary, but on the 19th, too, you've got some really, really cool selections people are going to be enjoying, especially on that night.
Yeah, we're going to bring our gnocchi over from 980 North Michigan over to 315 North LaSalle and shave some white truffles because now they're in season right now, and they're at a low, low price of $1,500 a pound.
Wow,
so
that is a low price.
Take a six-pack of that, then. That sounds good.
And we're going to be doing River Roast. We're going to do a crudo of Nantucket scallops and then a fish dish with a little crab crust. So we're going to do the seafood fish courses. Tony will do the meat courses.
Well, who's the author who does the dirty novels? Because I don't need dirty novels. Just you saying that is like the gnocchi with the truffles shaved over it. And my
just need
God.
Some music. Yeah,
I don't even need music, quite honestly.
Candles
romance novel music.
And then, John, this is exciting. You've been named to the CDC, not the Center for Disease Control, but the other CDC.
Right.
Please explain.
So it's a State Department initiative. It's the Culinary Diplomatic Corps, Chef Corps, and we're always on the ready in case a prime minister or somebody comes to town. And there's a group of us in Chicago chefs that have cooked state dinners before.
Yeah.
And we cooked a state dinner for the First Lady during the NATO conference here in Chicago. And then last month we traveled to Washington at the State Department and cooked for Matteo Renzi, who unfortunately rolled the dice and came up snake eyes. But so it was him and John Kerry and Joe Biden and 250 of their closest friends. So trying to coordinate a dinner in Washington, D.C. for that many people was pretty crazy.
Sure.
But what an honor, because I'm in a room with those three guys, and I'm just a kid from Kenosha, and I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't belong.
Congrats, Tony. That's awesome.
What kind of food, like, so when you find out where they're from, you don't try to match the region of the food you're making to them, right? You give them American fare? What do you do?
Yeah, you give them what you're known for.
Yeah.
You do what you do. So, I mean, for me to try to cook what his mother made.
Yeah, impossible.
The Italian cliche, it's mama's is always the best. So we would have lost.
Yeah.
The State Department program that does that really does use, you know, one of the greatest assets that we have is our great culinary scene and those great culinary and chef personalities, because, and we can always say in the, you know, crazy world out there, as many differences as we may have, culturally, politically, food is one of those common things that we can all get together and kind of have it be a conversation starter, hopefully, to bring people together. It's a great program. You don't know what's going to happen with the new administration, whether they're going to keep that, but it is something that it's been not only exciting, the stories are awesome, but it's made a big difference.
Congratulations. Sure. That's quite an honor.
Things get done around the table, and someone was smart enough to figure out, let's include chefs in this discussion.
Yeah, sure.
Great idea. What is this wine? Because there are bubbles in it. It's really good.
So I'm gonna tell you it's Lambrusco, and you're going to think I don't like Lambrusco, but this is the Lambrusco that they drink in Modena and Emilia-Romagna, and that's why it goes so well with John's charcuterie, because it's that region is, you know, prosciutto, mortadella. It's all those great cured meats. So it's Lambrusco.
It's bubbly Lambrusco, though. The Lambrusco I've had in the past has no effervescence.
Yeah, this is the real deal.
Spumante.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good. That's all I got to say. When I make something at home, I really, like I said, like to cook. I can't compare it to a professional chef. But the biggest compliment I get is when my family, my boys say, Mom, that was RQ. That means restaurant quality.
Nice.
Wow.
So
nice.
I'm working on it.
RQ.
Not going to be Roast Chicago quality, but definitely restaurant quality.
Well, they're doing it all the time over at River Roast and 315 North LaSalle. Guys, if you want to give information, people get tickets to see you on the 19th. And I know there's another one on the 25th there'll be information for, and the website for the place.
Yeah, I mean, River Roast, you know, the website is
River Roast Chi.
RiverRoastChicago.com, right? I'm on it right now.
That's it.
And then the other great thing we do is Feast of the Seven Fishes at Spiaggia, and that's on the 18th, the Sunday, and that's SpiaggiaRestaurant.com.
That sounds like a Fellini film. That's an event or a film?
And, Bill, there's a hangover soup on the menu. Pork shoulder, dried chili, hominy. Hominy, hominy, hominy.
The Jackie Gleason soup. Guys, great to see both of you. Thanks for coming in, and continued success to both of you. Boy, you've really made a difference in the landscape of Chicago food, so an honor to have
you
here.
Thank you, Tony.
Dave, great to see you.
Thank you, John.
Too.
Yeah, once you whip out the wind chill.
Yeah.
You can't blame yourself, Kim. You said, I hate to say it, which
I know, I do.
It's not on you. It's just that time of year. Although Wendy objected to your use of the term blustery. She was very offended by that.
Yeah, that makes me scared of winter as well.
Makes me think of Winnie the Pooh.
That's what I was just going to say.
You're right.
It's a Winnie the Pooh kind of a day.
You should always end, when giving a weather cast with the word blustery in it, you should always end with the words, oh, bother. Just say that at the end.
Oh,
that's
bother.
What Winnie the Pooh is like that. That's beautiful.
I can't think of a better way to warm you up than to give you a free sub sandwich. It is time for the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs Lunch Break. If you would like to win a Firehouse Subs gift card, just be, what's today's date? The 7th. Be the 7th caller, 312-981-7200. 7th caller, Kevin, 312-981-7200. You can ask for the Bill and Wendy special when you go to a Firehouse Subs. You will get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub for only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen.
Firemen founded it. I've heard about this. Be caller 7. Are you okay to talk about your new celebrity crush, or would you rather that be off
the air? Oh, no, we can talk about it.
Yeah,
Wendy, I don't know how to say his name
crush.
Yet.
Sweetheart. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Say who it is.
Joan Moncada. He is the new 21-year-old legal 21-year-old White Sox.
Was that more for you or for the rest of us? Who was that part for?
For the police, if they should
for
be
the
listening.
Police.
Congratulations, by the way, to Dennis and Addison. He has walked away with a Firehouse Subs gift card, and we're going to do this from now, I believe, until the end of the year.
At least.
All
maybe
right.
More.
Well, congratulations. Be listening tomorrow. You can be part of the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs Lunch Break Club.
What is it about new White Sox Joan Moncada that you find so attractive? Because you were looking at pictures of him earlier and making weird purring noises.
He's very cute. Yesterday when we were talking to Kevin Powell from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, Kevin was saying part of the reason the Cubs were so tremendous is there were people on there that had personality, and they were also very cute and young and friendly and just not somebody who was a baseball player. They were personalities.
Right.
And the White Sox, other than Chris Scissorhands.
Chris Sale.
There really weren't too many people that stood out to be...
You don't think Milky Cabrera is a sex symbol?
Not really.
No? All right.
But just to have a personality and to be out there. And the White Sox acquired four people.
Yes.
All very young. And I was looking at pictures of Yoan Moncada.
Yes.
And...
feeling feelings you didn't understand.
Thank you for explaining those to me, by the way.
You're welcome.
Dad.
That's my job. What does this tingle mean? Well, you know.
Chris Tingle. It's that time of year.
Yes.
Michael Kopech has a great mullet.
Which you're a big fan of.
20 years old. Yeah. Who are the other two people?
You're
that
older
I
than two of these guys put together. Thought I'd point out.
The tingle is gone.
All tingling stops now.
But now Kevin Powell was explaining that Yoan Moncada could actually go head to head with Chris Bryant in like lovely eyes and perhaps being someone who's a personality on the White Sox. I'm looking forward to the young rebuilding team.
Maybe this will get people through the gates. Maybe
I don't
to
think
see
that's
him.
Gonna
you don't
help.
Think so? He is, as we mentioned yesterday, baseball's top prospect. Not he wasn't just Red Sox top prospect or now the White Sox, but he is baseball's top prospect. Everybody's predicting big things for this guy. He's 6'2". He's 205
pounds. Wait, where's the dating game music? Bom, talk bom, slower.
Bom, bom, bom. He's from Cuba. He's looking for a place to stay now that he's in Chicago. Wendy, you might want to extend. Do you have an extra room somewhere you could put him up?
We have a lovely... Swedish couch in the Star
Cuba.
Wars room. That's all
he's
we have.
He's not Swedish. He's from Cuba.
All right. 21 years old. Talk slower.
He's strapping 6'2". He weighs in at 205. Likes red wine and walks on the beach, Wendy.
How about a girl with a sense of humor? Because I'll find him one.
A big sense of humor, he says. Likes much older women.
Yeah. Is it Yoan?
Yoan. You, sir, are on.
That's I'm not a sir, but thank you. I know my voice is lower than yours.
That's what you would say to him. You, sir, are on.
Luis Alexander Basabe, who's also 20 years old.
Spicy.
And Victor Diaz, 20 years old. Look at the young. They're starting to rebuild the team.
Like a boy band. The White Sox just acquired a boy band from the Boston Red Sox.
I like it. All right. Well, that's good.
So what is your age range before you get nervous about a celebrity crush? Because I've told you, I think Taylor Swift is incredibly talented and beautiful, but I feel guilty just thinking.
She's legal? She's in her 20s now, isn't she?
Yeah. But in my head, it's like I can't even think that she's beautiful and young and attractive before I even creep myself out in thinking that. I need somebody a little bit older. Aren't you
married?
Yeah, but I'm just saying as a celebrity crush. Also, I know for a fact. Go on, Kevin. What were you going to say?
She's 26.
Is so she 26?
That's a fair age.
Fine. Yeah. She'd never have you.
No.
Sorry.
Nope. I know for a fact that if I was in the business of celebrity crushes, like if I wasn't happily married, there's no doubt about it. I would go after a British woman, no doubt about it. I don't know what it is. It's just the voice. I could listen to a British woman talk all day, every day. Love it.
Until you're married to her.
No, I would still be okay. I've even tried to convince my wife, who is an actress, to take on something of a British accent.
I don't know where to go
I think
with
that
this.
That would be fun. Just say something Britishy to me, I say.
And does she slap you in the face or where?
She puts on a Benny Hill record and she chases me around and I'll go in one door like the kitchen door and I'll come out the dining room door and then I'll come out the bedroom door. I don't know how that happens, but when that music plays, that's what happens.
Yeah, I'm just excited. The White Sox were terrible last year. There, I'll say it.
They needed handsomer players.
No, they need something. And, you know, as Kevin Powell, God, all of a sudden Kevin Powell is the voice of God.
You've quoted Kevin many times today.
He made a lot of sense to me. You know, the White Sox had some good pitchers, but if you're not getting hits, you're not getting runs, you're not winning a game.
Yeah.
And the Cubs had all that.
Yeah. There's going to be some down. I mean, there have been some down years for the White Sox. The next few are going to be some more down years because they're trying to figure out a formula. It'll happen eventually. Sooner would be better than later.
Yeah, I know. Do you think the Cubs are going to win it again next year?
They're odds-on favorite.
Are they still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Although Boston is way up there now as well. They were already up there. There was even talk, Wendy. You know the legend of Big Poppy, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right. He retired at the end of last season. There were some stories yesterday that now, with the addition of Chris Sale to the Boston Red Sox, that he may be rethinking that. He may come back.
Seriously?
That's what they're saying. Nothing's definite, but he's considering it.
That's one of the reasons why I will never retire, because I will, you know, first of all, I can't afford to.
Right.
Second of all, if you retire, then retire. I feel you shouldn't get to come back. Look at Michael Jordan. That bugged me.
Right.
Cher, her farewell tour. How many of them have there been?
It's been going on since they've been a, then since there've been a, there's always been a Cher. I'm saying this right. Since Cher decided she's retiring, this farewell tour has continued. But with, it's strange because with Big Poppy, he did this tour where every time he was in a stadium, they paid tribute to him.
Yep.
And said, thank you for all the great years of baseball. So how do you go back after that?
You have him stand up and you boo him at all these
yes.
places. You are a liar.
Yes. Bad Poppy. No longer Big Poppy, now Bad Poppy. We must take a break, and then when we return, there will be more show, a whole lot more coming up, including, from the world of sports, Scott Darling.
Very exciting.
Blackhawks goalie.
Bill was talking about who his little secret crush would be. Is it secret? Is it fantasy?
Celebrity crush. Just a celebrity crush. You have to be, to qualify for this, you have to be a celebrity, and preferably British.
There are two listeners who have suggested Michelle Dockers.
Michelle
from
Dockers?
England. You were not sure who she was. It says very hot in Good Behavior.
Oh, that's the combination I'm looking for. For
no,
my
no, no. It's a movie called Good Behavior.
Oh, is
Behavior.
She in the movie Good Behavior?
She's in, is she in Downton Abbey?
I don't know.
You don't watch that, do you?
I've never seen Downton Abbey, no.
She is on Instagram. You can follow her at the Lady Dockers.
Yeah.
Michelle Dockery. And I showed you some pictures of her and,
she looks very porcelain, doesn't she? She looks mm-hmm. very, very white skinned, like milky white.
Milky Cabrera.
Right.
She was in Downton Abbey. That's why you and I don't watch that.
In Downton Abbey, she look, of course, you know, because it is of a certain era, she looks dated. So I, you know, but modern day, she looks very pretty, but she's not going to beat Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley is just flawless in every way.
She's Lady Mary.
In Downton Abbey?
In Downton Abbey, yeah.
Downton.
Downtown Abbey is the sequel.
You call it whatever you want, okay? I said Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with you two. Do I have to separate you two?
She was like one of the female leads.
Is she pretty?
Yeah. China Doll is kind of the
biggest. Yeah, that's what I said.
She's very liberated. But
yeah.
Means no bra.
She slept around
that's
a little
bit.
That's not
what that means.
In the 1800s, 1900s.
Really?
Well, I mean...
Wouldn't they burn you at the stake and call you a witch back then?
A guy died in her bed during one episode.
Oh, no.
Bill, I don't want you to be with her. I like working with you too much.
Was it Nelson Rockefeller? No.
Don't even have a dream about her, because I don't want you to die in your bed.
No, I wouldn't.
630 says, I'm with Bill. I've been married to a British man. Hello. For 15 years, and the accent is the only thing that doesn't get old. Oh, ouch.
It wouldn't... Yeah, that is... That would never get old to me. Ever.
Someone says, Wendy, put some marbles in your mouth. Bill will think you're British.
Try that.
I already have them in my mouth.
Try that and see what happens.
And then again, Michelle Dockery, hot.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley, you could do better in your fantasy relationship.
I don't think I could. Not just a beautiful woman, but a fine actress. Every time I see her in a movie, I've seen her in like a half a dozen movies, seven, eight, nine movies. Every single time, it takes a minute and I go, oh, yeah. That I get it. Whatever guy is like on the fence about her in a movie, I go, come on, are you serious? That's Keira Knightley. Don't mess around.
Who's she married to or dating?
I don't know.
Who's the one who's with Jason Sudeikis that you also like?
Olivia Wilde.
You like her?
Yeah. Yes.
In fact, he is right now.
Yes. And she doesn't have a British accent. That's how beautiful she is. She doesn't even need a British accent.
But she has a British name.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde is Olivia a very Wilde. British-y sounding name. Yes, it is.
Do you discuss these celebrity crushes with your wife?
No. That would not be in anyone's best interest. No, she knows.
Especially
that-
Livy.
I would like to know who her celebrity crushes are. I bet it would be people who look like you, like Greg Kinnear, Dana Carvey. Oh. You're going totally off the track in a different direction.
She said, you know, she made that, she was in a movie with Matt Damon a couple of years ago. Oh,
yeah.
She said, as good as he looks when you see him in movies, when you're next to him, he's even better looking, which I think is her way of saying.
I can't keep my hands off of him. That's what that's her way of saying.
Right. I don't know. I'll ask her. Do I want to know that?
No.
Though? I probably don't want to know that. Because it'll be, you know, guys that are like way out of my league. Although I guess that's the purpose of a celebrity crush. You wouldn't go, you know who I like is that Wally Cox. That guy's right. Got it all going on.
If I could just meet Dom DeLuise.
Right.
He'd be fun. That's right. All I got to tell you. And he was a good cook for a while. Is he still with us?
He's no longer with us.
Okay.
Nope.
Didn't he turn into a cooker?
No, that was Paul Prudhomme.
Oh, who looked just
look
like
exactly
him.
Exactly the same.
All right. That's
they
where I got
exactly
confused.
And like Dom.
Yeah, no longer with us.
See, what? Here we go again.
It all comes back to death.
Because everybody we talk about is dead.
Or near. What? Who? Oh, boy. Something we mentioned yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Was something we very casually mentioned yesterday was in the news. It wasn't a person. I got to find it on my Facebook page because several people sent me a note saying, hey, you and Wendy, this is just like your death curse. You
it's
mentioned
not me. I have
is
nothing
just,
to do
it
with
me?
It. Yeah, it's you.
And now people, I think I told you this, people keep emailing me names of people they don't like, and they want me to mention their name on the air so that they die.
Like their ex-wives or
just
ex-husbands?
Like a boss or a neighbor or somebody. They go, hey, there's this guy, and here's his name. Could you mention his name? See what you can do for me.
Dude, start charging. You can make a little extra money for the holidays and save somebody some time buying a present.
Yeah, I guess. All right, I'll figure out a price structure on that. We'll
all right, still to come at 2:30 this afternoon, we're going to talk to goaltender extraordinaire Scott Darling, and we have a whole bunch of other things. Tomorrow, can we mention we have James Taylor tickets to give away?
Yeah.
Bertrand's been trying to steal them from us, but no, we are going to give them away to a listener tomorrow. We have a whole bunch planned because it's the pre-Christmas week.
That's exactly what it is. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, thank you so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our Wednesday show. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. Now, several times over the past several years, I've mentioned somebody's name, a celebrity, sometimes a famous celebrity, sometimes a C, D, or E-list celebrity, but I'll just kind of toss out a name, and then within a day or two, that person has died. And I always feel bad. I'm not doing it intentionally. It just seems to be something that happens. So
you're just putting it out there into the universe.
I guess I am, but it's...
And then the universe has gone, is that Bill Leff?
Right. We better
All
off
right.
the person that he just mentioned to keep the streak alive. So yesterday on the show, we mentioned gummy bears. Just, we were talking about what's in certain
cow hooves.
Food. And yeah, they when they're making gummy bears or gummy worms or gummy rats, any gummy animal, they use cow hooves in the gelatin that they use in gummy bears. So that was it. We talked about that, and we talked about other foods that are in other foods. Then several people sent me notes, some texts, some emails, some Facebook messages saying, well, you've done it again. You mentioned gummy bears, and now they're in the news.
More than a dozen Naperville North High School students were transported to the hospital yesterday after some of them ate gummy bears that were tainted, according to police. Mm. Now, when this story broke yesterday, I didn't know what they were tainted with.
Right.
Going to the hospital and you're not feeling well or sick is better than dying. So I didn't know if it was heroin. I don't know if you can get heroin in a gummy bear. I know that a lot of times marijuana is used. I have some friends who live in California, and there are Jolly Ranchers that are really jolly because they make them with liquid marijuana in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
So a 17-year-old student is being questioned in connection with this incident, but no charges had been filed as of last night. This is from ChicagoTribune.com. Some of the candy, the original candy, was confiscated. It will be tested. The candy might have contained a marijuana oil-type substance, though that has not yet been confirmed either. And, Steve, I don't know if there's been any update since this news broke, but we have gummy vitamins because... That's how we have vitamins in our house. They regular vitamins bother my stomach. The kids like gummy vitamins, so I take them too. So when I was doling out the gummy vitamins last night, Michael said, oh, wow, did you hear about the tainted gummy bears? And I said, yeah, and you know, you're in high school. I wouldn't eat anything that isn't in its original container.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's just, hey, do you want a gummy bear? And it's like alone.
Right.
First of all, I would say don't touch it. The proper way is to hold the bag open and let me choose one from the bag.
Sure.
But what if the bag's not sealed, how do you know someone hasn't tainted them and put them back in the bag?
So these kids that may have taken the tainted gummy bears, they had no idea that there was anything going on. It's not like a bunch of kids, like
that's
one kid
unclear.
Came in and said, hey, guess what? I have a recipe and I made these. Let's
hey,
all
give
try
me one.
One.
Maybe
yeah.
they wanted to. Naperville yeah. District 203 Superintendent Dan Bridges said police and fire departments were called to the school at Ogden and Mill Street after students reported feeling sick on Tuesday morning. Naperville Fire Division Chief Andy Dina said 14 students were taken to the hospital.
Wow.
This candy made those students both uncomfortable and sick, so they were taken to the nurse's office for care. And then for safety precautions, they were transported to Edwards Hospital to receive medical attention. Each student had varying degrees of discomfort and subsequent treatment was needed. He said the district's primary concern is ensuring the safety, health, and well-being of all the students. Edwards Hospital spokesman Keith Hartenberger early on Tuesday confirmed the hospital treated all 14 patients. Their symptoms included a fast heart rate, dizziness, dry mouth, or some combination of those.
Mm.
School and hospital officials said of the 14 students taken to Naperville's Edwards Hospital, 12 had eaten the gummy bears. 14 just went for the ride. They're like, eh, a bunch of kids are getting out of school. I got a test in seventh period. I'm kind of dizzy. As of 4 p.m. Tuesday last night, 11 yeah. had been treated and released.
But not all of them.
No, and an investigation continues. Police will work with the district to determine whether the juvenile court or the school district would handle the matter. A lot of avenues we can take with juvenile discipline.
Yeah.
According to the superintendent. Again, they're young, so we want to work through these issues in partnership and collaboration with the school district to make sure the punishment fits the crime. But now if a kid is intentionally saying, hey, want to get high off a gummy bear, isn't that drug dealing?
It's not if you're not charging.
Right.
I mean, I don't.
Right.
I guess.
Right. It certainly would be possession and distribution.
Mean, all the zero tolerance laws now, I mean, I don't know if a kid should get expelled, but then that's easy for you to say. If you're the parent of that kid, what
sure.
about the parent of the kid who took the gummy bear?
Well, it's so much harder now to get expelled from a school than it was a generation ago. I mean, I could give you...
Now it's harder?
Yeah, to expel a kid. We had a couple of kids in our school expelled for very, very minor things. And I've heard so many stories about kids. Like, let's say this kid doesn't get expelled. I wouldn't be shocked if this kid didn't get expelled for this. I mean, it all hinges on whether or not these were taken wittingly. Like if he said, hey, here's something I tried to make at home with marijuana in it, try it, then that's one thing. But if he was slipping these to kids who didn't know, if he just said, hey, I got a bag of gummy bears, take them. Here, pass them around. Everybody and didn't warn them what was coming. I think you got a much more serious problem on your hands.
I agree with you.
I mean, either way, this isn't a good thing.
I just like
God, terrible.
You know, you worry about your kids all the time. Your kids are not in high school anymore, but you always worry about your kids. And
yeah.
then it's like, God forbid, I got to warn my kids about don't accept gummy bears from anyone.
Right.
I mean, what's going on?
Do you not think it's harder for a kid to get expelled in school now than it used to be?
I think they expel. It's zero tolerance. So to me, I think kids get expelled more frequently now for, you know, going to school. If some kid had a fishing knife in his pocket or something to show a kid on the playground,
yeah.
I think there'd be reprimand. I think now that kid's done.
There was a girl and my daughter, when my daughters were going to grade school, there was a girl, they have statues out in front of their school. And she spray painted genitalia on all the statues. And then missed 3 days of school because of it. No expulsion.
That shouldn't be expulsion.
And you don't see, I know for a fact, if you even mentioned to a kid in my school you were thinking of that, they would have kicked you out of school. But she did it. A couple
That's
days
a ago. Prank.
They couldn't fix it. I mean, for the rest of the school year, every time you went to the
kidding.
School, it's like, Wow, look at that guy. How about that guy?
That's when you wrap a towel around its waist. Right.
Maybe she felt bad for them if they didn't have him in the beginning.
All right. That's right? Maybe. I'll
but
give you that. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a pushover. But to me, expulsion, that's a stupid prank that really you need to learn and there needs to be some repercussions. But yeah. To be expelled out of school for doing that, I don't know.
But well, we were all shocked. That, I mean, because you every time you went to the school for any reason, there were the statues, and boy, were they happy to see you.
why didn't they buy kilts for the statues or something?
They used them as coat hangers, Steve. It was insane. The kids would come in, they put their coats on them.
Can I take your coat? No, he's got it.
Do you think that's expulsion material, Steve? I'm just curious.
No.
No?
I really...
I think we finally realized that students or kids are better off in... It's wrong to kick someone away from education... to punish them rather than keep them in, you know?
So yeah. I think a weapon, someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
They're a danger.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
That's just a prank gone awry, not even awry.
If they're clever, you know.
Well, I do have to say her art was spectacular. I mean, really, the detail was
she was in high school, right?
How closely were you looking
at this? Oh, great school.
You couldn't, like, if you went there to drop, you know, sometimes we would drop the kids off or if there was a school play or something like that. Oh, Calcutta, by the way.
Hair.
Right. There's no way to not notice because you were walking into the school and there they were every time.
It was spray painted on there?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just spray paint the statue like a gray?
I guess you could.
God, I am going to be a problem solver for pranks at school.
Yes.
That's my new business.
That's a great business to be in right now.
All right, well, I need to know more if there's any more information about these gummy bear things. Because really, if a kid is saying, hey, I got these gummy bears, and they're pretty cool, you want one, and then a kid knows full willingly, sure, give me one.
Now, here's a weird, this is a science question. I know you enjoy science.
I do. I love it. SNN.
I told you this. In Oak Brook now, there's a store, a boutique store that sells gummy bears flavored like various wines and champagnes, right? And they're expensive. They're good. Like we went in when we were shopping last week, we went in and you can get a sample bear, one, because they're very expensive. So they'll give you one. So I tried a champagne and one of my daughters tried a wine flavored one. And they said to her before they get, because I wasn't sure, you know, they were going to have alcohol in them. No, all the alcohol is baked out in the process. So would that still be the case if they were lacing it with marijuana or something?
No.
It would permeate. It would still be in there.
I bet they inject it, you know, after they're already made.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would.
I don't think a kid is at home making his own gummy bears. I got little gummy bear molds.
Well, that's what I don't know is, like, how much of it, like, is that what he did? Did he take your regular gummy bears and just inject it with a needle?
Liquid marijuana is what they're saying at this point. Was there any update on the story, Steve? I don't know that there was. I don't know when this was dated. But that's like a purpose for it. When you use liquor in cooking, it does cook out because, you know, it evaporates kind of and it loses its alcoholic qualities.
So he just injected liquid marijuana into the gummy bear.
And we're saying he? I don't
know.
It could
be a she.
It could be.
But my money's on a guy. Don't you think? Isn't this the kind of thing a guy would do over a girl?
Yeah, but see, that upsets me. It's a sexist world. Why do you think that, you know, who was it a guy who did the spray painting on the statues at your school?
No, that was a girl. That was a girl.
See, that for sure I would have thought was a guy.
Right. Mm-mm. Huh. And I think she's got an art scholarship now. I really do. I'm not kidding.
Or she's a researcher.
Right. Either way.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. We'll take a break.
Yeah.
And then more of this. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. We're talking about the tainted gummy bears. Whoa.
Tainted gummy bears. Soft sell, I believe.
Yes, you're very right. It's really scary. We don't have all the information. I guess they were questioning a student that perhaps is responsible for this. It turns out that police are thinking at this point it was some kind of liquid marijuana that was injected into the gummy bear. I don't know. Retired Sheriff Dave is on the line with us. Hello,
hey,
retired
Dave.
Sheriff Dave.
Hi, Bill, Wendy, and Steve. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Have you come across this ever, anything like this?
Well, I do remember back when I was with the sheriff's department, I remember hanging a directive or a flyer on a thing on gummy bears, and from my recollection, they were talking about there were some cases probably out west, because you know everything bad starts out west. But there were some, and I think it was specifically gummy bears, and they had been soaked in this case, it was they were being soaked in booze, so they were they were boozy gummy bears. But the same principle could certainly apply for making, you know, something with the liquid THC or the marijuana product.
A 17-year-old student was identified as the possible source of the candy, and investigators are suggesting that most of the students knew in advance that they were consuming this drug-laced candy.
Hmm. Yeah, the gummy bears, I remember they were saying that they were larger, so they were, you know, suggesting the parents look at this stuff, and if it looked bigger than normal, then, you know, it'd be a little more suspicious.
If the gummy bear itself looked bigger than normal.
Yeah, right.
Well, they show a picture and they all have droopy eyes and they look hungry. Is that a good sign that something could be wrong?
You know, I want to know is if there's
know, dude.
Sheriff Dave, if I mean, you said that they maybe looked a little bigger, but I'm telling you, I mean, Bill, think back to when you were in high school.
Yeah.
If somebody said, "Hey, you want a gummy bear?" You'd be like, "Hey,
I
sure."
I would trust them.
You
sure
would. And if, you know, these people, allegedly, these students knew in advance that they were consuming drug-laced candy, but does it have to get to the point where if somebody offers you something, you have to make sure, like, it's sealed, like on Halloween? You can't take a loose candy from somebody? What do you think, Sheriff Dave?
Well, you know, these are discussions that need to be held at home.
Yeah,
and you know, I always tell parents, listen, you've got to assume your kids are going to be offered something, whether it's something as quote unquote benign as a cigarette or a joint or a pill. You have to assume somebody at some point is going to offer that to them. So you got to have that conversation beforehand.
You know, and I know this is probably a stupid thing to say to my kids. And, you know, I said, I really hope you're 21 before you have a drink. And even if marijuana isn't legal when you're 21, do what you want. But when you open up a beer, you know what's in it. When you have some vodka, you know what's in it. If you take a pill or get drugs from somebody, especially someone you don't know what's in it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if you've had a discussion or ever heard of a farm party. They used to be popular. I don't know if it still is or not. But kids would get together and they would have what they called a farm party, and it was for pharmaceuticals. They would grab stuff out of medicine cabinets or whatever source, put everything all together, and just, you know, play around and try taking different things. They had no idea what they were taking.
You think your kids are smart enough and you say, why would you do that? Just because I wouldn't do it. I mean, pills are typically made for a certain ailment or condition, and you don't know how you're going to react to it. Isn't there any fear in kids anymore?
We've learned. I used to tell kids, I did it tongue in cheek. When a kid would get in trouble, not for something too serious, but I'd set them down and say, look, you know, I understand it's really not your fault. I mean, you did this, but here's, you got to remember, you're 16 years old, and your brain right now is the size of a pea, and the rest of your skull is solid bone, and your job is to get old enough that year by year, your brain grows, and the bone thins out in your skull until, you know, you're in your mid-20s, and your brain is normal size. But, well, you know, I was doing that years ago, and we did learn that actually the decision-making part of the brain literally does not complete its development until you're about 25 years old.
I've heard that on several occasions, which is scary because, boy, I did things before I was 25. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if there were true justice, none of us would live through our teens.
Hey, would you have arrested a young girl at a Catholic school who sprayed genitalia on statues?
Arrested? Well, they're probably, you know, and I know we were talking about elementary kids. Now, that's not really something that I don't think would be charged criminally. The thing with the juvenile justice system, anyway, is it is designed ideally that it's all about rehabilitation and you know, stopping you know, stopping the progression of that kind of behavior.
That's what Bertrand said. You wouldn't want to expel a kid from school for spray painting junk on a statue, because then they're out of school. You want to keep them in school. That's the goal.
Absolutely. You need, you know, the more supervision, the better.
Oh, that sounds accurate. Wow. Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much.
Oh, sure. Always good to talk to you.
By the way, Dave, I just got a text from those gummy bears. They're not in Naperville anymore. They're at a Fish concert, so.
Okay. We'll talk about Fish later.
All right. Bye.
Thank you very much. And real quickly before we take a break here, and we have news coming up, and Blackhawks goalie Scott Darling. Michael, what did you want to talk to us about?
Hey, Wendy and Bill, how you doing? Hey, gummy bears are not porous. They will not suck up any liquid. To prove me wrong, take a glass of water, stick one in for your whole show. It will not suck up any water. That was a false statement.
What did they just soak it in there? Was it on the outside?
Listen to me.
Calm down, Michael.
Take a piece of gum. It's the same byproduct, just a different derivative of. It's gum. Yeah. It is a gum. It will not suck up liquid. Take a piece of bubble gum, throw it in a bottle of water for 4 hours. It will not suck up any water. And same thing, like a tire on your car will not suck up water. It's a gum agent.
But you could still put marijuana juice on it and lick your tire if you wanted to. And it's
but the amount of liquid that would adhere to the surface is minimal compared to what the gentleman was saying, is if it is going to, you know, be porous and consume the water inside of itself. Ridiculous statement. You just need to know.
So what are you saying, that the kids are lying and there wasn't any liquid marijuana on the gummy bears?
They could have sprayed a compound onto it or injected into it. The gentleman said that he heard a story from out west that gummy bears are being soaked in alcohol and whatnot.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it will be on the exterior. Gummy bears will not in any way, they are not a porous material. And again, if you think I'm wrong, go grab some gummy bears for the rest of your show. Throw it in a bottle of water. It will not.
How do they digest in my tummy when I eat them then?
Acids are breaking down the gum agents.
What if you put acid on a gummy bear? You could just rub it on there.
Well, you would see a lot of colors, Wendy.
That's what acid is for, isn't it?
So just be aware. Be smart. Don't believe everything everybody says.
Amen.
It's a very easy thing for you to take a scientific. Throw it in a bottle of water. Let's see what happens in the next hour.
All right, I believe you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Michael. Michael is spokesperson for gummy bears.
I was just going to say that. For what is it, Black Forest? What is the company that makes them? Haribo?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? All right, how about this? A break, some news. Later on, before the show is out, Scott Darling, Blackhawks goalie. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination.
This song is creepier every time I hear it. Like, the first time I heard it, I went, this is some creepy music. But every time I hear it, it's creepier. Hi, everybody. It's Bill.
It wasn't a hit, was it?
It was a hit. It was a hit, yeah.
What's happened to America? America.
I've been asking that question a lot lately. Amy Schumer, the other day, we talked about this a little bit on the air. They're going to make a movie about Barbie. So they have decided, and it's not 100% decided yet, but it looks like Amy Schumer is going to play grown-up Barney, you know.
Barbie?
Yeah.
I think she'd be perfect
for
it.
I do, too. Because then it opens up, you know, the story would be about how she started out as one thing, but now she's a little bit older. Maybe she and Ken are no longer together. Maybe she's lost the dream house, the star vet.
Oh,
it's a great, I know.
It's a sad story.
Could be a sad story, but she'd make it funny. She's always funny. So as soon as they put this online, that Amy Schumer is in talks with the people who are putting this movie together, Sony Pictures, the internet went wild with people saying, oh, no, if you're making a Barbie movie, you cast an actress that looks more like Barbie. This is very upsetting to us. We will not see a Barbie movie with Amy Schumer. This is a miscarriage of justice. They were very mean to her, by the way. I read you some of the tweets from the other day. They all commented on the fact that Barbie's built a certain way and Amy Schumer is not built that way. And then we made the point of saying, there's not a woman on the planet who's built that way. You would tip over if you were built that way.
There's one girl who actually had her ribs removed. I looked her up yesterday. It's It's crazy, Bill. She's got plastic surgery that changed her eyes to almost look like sort of anime.
Yeah.
And she's removed ribs, and she has a Barbie body.
Right.
And I don't know how she
Well, she did
goes
that, and then there
life.
Was a guy who decided to make himself look like Ken, too.
Is he smooth down there?
They don't say that in the story.
Because we could get your friend from grade school to spray paint some things.
Oh, yeah. I guess that... Well,
them up.
That's not a bad idea. Well, now Amy Schumer is commenting on this because, as you would imagine, she's a little bit upset. And why wouldn't you be? Amy Schumer is firing back. This is from MSN.com. Amy Schumer is firing back at haters who have body shamed her following news that she will play Barbie in Sony Pictures' upcoming live action film inspired by the famous doll. Now, before I read any more, I was talking about this with my family the other night after we discussed it on the show. And we're trying to figure out who would go to see this movie. Like, if it wasn't Amy Schumer, I wouldn't be interested at all. But if I hear Amy Schumer's in it, all of a sudden you've got my interest. I'll go see this movie. I like her that much. But it's not really for little girls who are playing with Barbie. It's got to be for people who
It's for us. It's for an Amy Schumer audience, I would imagine. I mean, are they going to poke fun at Barbie? Is Mattel going to allow that to happen?
You have to, right?
Yeah.
Why would you? Yeah, you wouldn't make the movie if it wasn't.
I think you just... You'd right there just said how she's not with Ken anymore. She lost her dream house and the car. I think you have just. I think someone's going to listen and write that as the movie.
Maybe that, but that's
because where
be
else
the story.
Do you go from it?
Right, right. Well, did she have an adversary in the Barbie world? Was there somebody who
Midge.
Was her Midge was
or
the enemy
nemesis?
What was Midge's story?
I don't remember. I didn't play with Barbies that much.
No. The train wreck actress shared a swimsuit photo to Instagram on Tuesday while defending herself to online trolls. Is it fat shaming if you know you're not fat and have zero shame in your game, wrote the star. That would be Amy Schumer, who was also nominated for two Grammy Awards on Tuesday. I don't think so, she says. I am so strong and proud of how I live my life and say what I mean and fight for what I believe in, and I have a blast doing it with people that I love, and where's the shame? It's not there. It's an illusion. Well said. Schumer added that when she looks in the mirror, she sees a great and fearless friend, sister, daughter, and girlfriend, and then thank fans who have offered kind words of support.
She's a little full of herself now, isn't she?
No, I don't think she is. But you mean based on what I just told you otherwise?
No, I don't think
she is. Why do you say that?
It's because I'd make a great friend. I'd make a great lover. I am wonderful.
Well, she prefaces it by saying when she sees herself in the mirror, because all these people were just blasting her, saying, hey, cast somebody who's shaped like Barbie, not Amy Schumer. This is awful. So she's saying that's not what she sees when she's in the mirror.
I know, but I don't believe her.
You know?
I mean, I think it's a great statement. I don't believe she truly feels that way.
No?
I really don't. And don't feed the trolls. You really shouldn't feed the trolls. Let them say what they want, but I don't know. I just think you sound kind of full of yourself when you come out and say that. Listen, I don't care what you think.
You don't think this would silence them? Like if they said, Mm-mm. And there were so many people that took jabs at her after this announcement, you don't think that's her way of saying, hey, hate me all you want. I'm happy with what I am.
See, that's the problem with the trolls. They're going to come back harder now.
Oh, maybe.
That's why I say don't waste your ink.
Don't waste your ink. The star also offered her sympathy to the trolls who are in more pain than we will ever understand, those are her words, and noted that the harsh words that she has received about her body only strengthen her suitability for the role. See, I have a feeling that's going to be one of the subplots, is that maybe she's in her 30s now, Barbie's not the, you know, how old was Barbie supposed to be in her heyday? Was she like 19, 20, 21, would you say?
She was described as a teenage fashion model, so on the packaging.
Yeah.
So I thought she was in her 20s.
Did you?
Because what teenager is going to have a dream house and a car?
Right. She's done well. Well, for a while, I mentioned this the other day, they were marketing her as she was a TV journalist. She was an astronaut. She was she a doctor or a nurse? There was some medical version of her, right? So she had a lot of, she was working a full day.
Many degrees. Her real name is Barbara Millicent Barbie Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you knew that. No one else
Barbie
listening.
Barbie Roberts. I think she was named, didn't the inventor have a daughter named Barbie? Didn't she name Barbie after her daughter? I think. You don't know that?
I don't know.
Did you have a Barbie?
Yeah. I wasn't well, in it.
You should do the commercials for them. Because that I think that convinced anybody on the fence. I'm thinking about getting my daughter a Barbie. Wendy, did you have one? Yeah, I had a Barbie. Ooh.
I did, but...
But what? What happened
I wasn't that into the Barbies. I liked the Matchbox cars and the Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
I was more into the Dawn dolls.
What was the difference
they
with Dawn?
They just were smaller and prettier, if you want to know the truth.
More realistic?
No.
No?
They
still
were still...
Impossible dimensions?
Yeah. I wasn't into...
It didn't
into...
do anything for you.
No.
So you never, like... The thing to do with them, of course, is to buy them and then buy tons of accessories and stuff. You didn't put you didn't do any of that.
My sister had a couple Barbies because that original Barbie came out when my sister was young.
In the 50s.
She's not that old, but it did, you know, she had one of the first few Barbies and she had the cases and stuff. And I guess maybe I had a hand-me-down Barbie.
Yeah.
I had Barbie envy because Betsy got all the Barbie stuff.
She had all
stuff.
The cool Barbie stuff.
I don't recall ever being a Barbie freak at all.
I didn't have any sisters, so my brother and I had G.I. Joes and, you know, Captain Action.
Who's that?
Captain Action was from Mattel. He was cooler than G.I. Joe because he could become other superheroes. He could become Batman or Spider-Man or the Green Hornet or Lone Ranger. So we had G.I. Joe and Captain Action and Action Jackson. Do you remember him?
Action Jackson is
his
name.
Bold Adventure is his game. Yeah.
My brother had the G.I. Joe, and he would intermingle with Barbie.
That's what we would do. We would go to my cousin Lori's house, and the boys were in town, you know. So they would come by the dream house.
But then my brother stole Ken from my sister and put G.I. Joe's helmet on him, and Ken lost his hair.
From the helmet being on?
Yeah, because the original Ken had kind of like peach fuzz up there.
Oh, they had for a while. They
it
had
was,
lifelike hair.
Yeah, well, it wasn't
and Kung
that.
Fu Grip. Did yours have Kung Fu Grip?
The G.I. Joe?
Yeah. For a
I
couple
didn't have
years,
G.I. Joe. It was my brother's. But he would take the Ken doll from my sister and put the helmet. There was a hard hat, a helmet on from G.I. Joe and put it on Ken. And Ken's got a bald spot because it was that like little fuzzy hair.
Right.
And from taking the helmet on and off, Ken was very not desirable.
He had male pattern baldness.
He did.
I think that they should have marketed that. That's very realistic.
They didn't go for any realism with the Barbie and Ken. They were perfect. They were the cheerleader and the quarterback.
Yeah.
And where'd they get their money? Was she a model?
Sometimes she was a model.
I think she did some things on the side for extra money. Because how do you pay for the dream house?
What are you inferring? What are you inferring?
Lady of the evening,
come
perhaps.
On.
That's what I'm inferring. That's how she got her extra money.
She, had a lot
she
of
was
outfits.
A teenager.
Right.
Did you have a house when you were a teenager
no.
and a kick-ass car and a camper?
No.
All right, then.
No. Mm-mm.
If you played your hand differently, you could have.
I guess. Now I'm learning that. All right, we'll take a quick break. If you want to jump in on this, 312-981-7200. Amy Schumer is upset because people are body-shaming her, saying she shouldn't be Barbie. What are your thoughts? Give us a call or a text. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking about Amy Schumer's situation. She's going to be in the new movie Barbie. They haven't shot it yet. As far as I knew, she was up for the role. It looked like it was going to her. But now in this story, it says she's been cast in Sony Pictures' new movie Barbie. But the other day when they made this announcement that they were thinking about having her, the internet went crazy with people saying, you can't have Amy Schumer be Barbie. She's not of the build of Barbie. We can't have this.
But she comes back today and says, I'm comfortable in my own skin, basically,
right.
I'm paraphrasing. And I'm a good friend, a good sister, a good lover, and I'll be a good Barbie.
Friend, sister, daughter, and girlfriend. You get 4 for 1. It's like my pillow.
Hi, Michael. You have a great point. Why don't you share it with all of us?
Well, I find it funny that she's taking offense that people are saying things about her when
that is kind of her thing. You're right.
You know what I mean? And now she's taking offense that people are using that against her. You know, I mean, you can't be one thing on Tuesday and then something different on Wednesday. You are what you are. And as far as somebody looking like Barbie, I think probably that would be a difficult match. But if they're going to play Barbie off as someone who's fallen on hard times, like you were saying, then maybe she's ideal for the role because she looks like a Barbie that's fallen on very, very hard times.
All right.
So, you know, I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
She's going to call you, Michael. Amy Schumer is now going to call you.
I'm sure she will. I also, you know, regarding, remember how she took such offense at the things Trump had to say about women, but yet she said far worse things than any one of her stand-up gigs and was going to leave the country. So I just find her to be undesirable as a person.
All right.
I loved her. So, I totally loved her, and I loved Trainwreck. I thought that was a great movie. But she just has changed, in my opinion. Mm. There were rumors that she was kind of reusing other people's material.
Right.
And I don't know.
You're not a fan anymore?
I can't say I'm not a fan, but my views have changed a little bit.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So, Michael, great point. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Bye, Michael.
And Stephen wants to jump in really quickly, and then we have to break for news because we're going to talk to Scott Darling from the Chicago Blackhawks. Stephen, go ahead.
Well, I'll make it quick. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick point that how fast things have changed is that I think Marilyn Monroe was a size 12 or 14, and she was one of the biggest sex symbols of all time.
Right. But all right, so let's say Marilyn Monroe comes along today as opposed to when she did. Do you think she would still have the meteoric rise she had? Would she still be a sex symbol today? Or is that just a dated concept, Marilyn Monroe?
I think it's just a dated concept. I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are a lot more shallower than what they were back in the, you know, the 50s and early 60s. But, you know, when I look at the pictures of her, you know, her glamour pictures, I think she's a gorgeous woman. That's just me.
And very sexy. I got to tell you, go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, it's on the mind too. She promoted it very well.
She was really sexy.
Yeah,
not the world's greatest actress, I have to admit.
No, I would agree with you on that one too. Yeah, yeah.
She had her moments.
When you sleep with the directors, you can pretty much be in any film you want.
That's how I got parts in Major League and Major League Two.
Keep that to yourself, Stephen. Right. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Stephen. Aren't you shocked I'm not in more movies? I am.
No. You got to work harder, Bill.
All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Scott Darling joins us. Blackhawk goalie Scott Darling. That's after the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You got to love the Blackhawks. They had their longest losing streak of the year, Wendy. They had lost an abysmal 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
And everybody said, uh-oh, 2 games in a row. What's going on here? So the Blackhawks, behind Scott Darling, said, we'll show you what's what. And they had an incredible shutout last night, 4-0. Scott Darling joins us right now on the phone line to talk about that and the season and a charity that's coming up, a way for you to get some incredible artwork. Scott, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Pretty great. I have to ask you a question. Have you ever been introduced to that Blondie song before?
No, that was a first for me.
Good job, Bill.
She wrote that for you. Wasn't that cool?
What an honor.
So how are you doing? You are kicking ass and taking names, if I may say so myself.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, last night was a great game. It's been fun to get a couple starts here. You know, unfortunately, with Corey going through what he went through, I'm sure I'll be back soon, though.
Did you think he was faking it when Corey said, oh, I got this pain in my lower right side, I must have eaten something funny, and then it turns out to be appendicitis? Did you think he was being a baby or faking it?
No, I mean, he's a tough guy, so I was pretty shocked when I woke up and I had heard that he was in the hospital, so obviously we were worried about him. We didn't know what was going on because they don't really tell us much, but we saw him after the game, and he came back from Philly with us, so it's nice to see him up and about.
Scott, for you, how is the mindset different knowing that you now are the number one goalie for a while, certainly while Corey's out, but now all of a sudden you're getting a start game after game after game as opposed to spot starts? What goes on mentally when that's the difference?
It's a little bit less stressful knowing that you're going to get the opportunity to play, and you know, God forbid you don't have a good game. You're able to get right back in the next game and you know, try and play better and move forward. Unlike when you're a backup, you know, if you don't have a good game, it might be 2 or 3 weeks before you get a shot at redemption. So it's more comfortable. You can kind of get into a rhythm, and it's definitely fun.
All right, so weird things go on when you're in Philadelphia. Eric Samborski is called up to be on the bench in case he's needed. Did he really come up to you and say, Scott, I hope you're feeling well. Please don't get injured. Did he say that to you?
Something along those lines, yeah. It was a pretty awesome experience. I'm sure he had a great time, and we had a lot of fun with him in the room, and I can't imagine what a crazy day that was for him.
The reason we're talking to you, aside from the fact that we're big fans of the Blackhawks and you, the starting goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks right now, you guys have put together something for Blackhawks charities to sell these awesome looking holiday cards. I watched the video. It's pretty adorable where you're mentioning that you saw Corey Crawford painting his card and you got a little nervous because his was so good.
Yeah, why is he so good at everything? You know? Like, come on, man.
Well, he did say that he watched that Bob Ross guy on TV a lot, so he felt he had some techniques down.
Yeah, that was fun. We didn't know what to expect when they said make some holiday cards. I figured it'd be crayons and paper. You know, they were like, oh, it'll take a couple minutes. And you know, we were in there for a while because we wanted to do a good job. You know, they had a nice setup. And I'm not an artist by any means, but I had a lot of fun trying to be.
So everybody participated and made their beautiful artwork. I mean, big time. You had easels, you had oil paints, the brushes, and then these are going to be made into holiday cards that you can purchase at any of the Blackhawks stores. And then the original acrylic paintings are going to be auctioned off. You can go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com, and they are currently up for auction, so you can bid on them through Monday, December 19th. The proceeds, of course, will benefit Chicago Blackhawks charities. You're pretty good at this this artwork thing.
I don't know about that, but as long as I wasn't the worst, I consider it.
Who was the worst?
We would never ask you who was the worst, but who was the worst? You can say, Scott.
I didn't see all of them, but from what I saw, I'd give Schmaltz.
Nick Schmaltz the was the worst, was
yeah,
he? Why
he
do you think? What was he not doing properly?
You know, it's just this whole brushing technique. He didn't have the vision for it. But, I mean, most of us didn't. But like I said, I didn't see everybody's. But it was a lot of fun, and we all had a good time doing it. And it's a great cause. The Blackhawks do a great job of raising money and you know, giving back to the community. So it's fun to be a part of it.
Sure.
Do you have big Christmas plans? I know there are a couple of games, but not on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have too much of a break this year. But fortunately for me, I'm from here, so I'll be home for Christmas for the 2 days. Just going to go spend time with my family and chill out for 2 days.
You're newly married, correct, Scott?
Engaged.
Oh, you're engaged.
Don't rush things, Bill.
Well, I get excited because I know what a romantic person you are. When is the wedding, Scott? How soon off is the wedding?
It's in July.
Yeah. Are you nervous at all?
No. We've been together for a while, so it's exciting. It's been fun to plan, and yeah, it's gonna be an exciting day.
Do you take your work home with you? I know they always say you shouldn't, but when you're a professional athlete, I don't know how you couldn't. Do you?
Unfortunately, I do. I have a hard time separating it. I'm a pretty big hockey nerd, too, so unfortunately, when I play, she gets to watch the game twice because she'll watch it live, and then I'll go home and watch the game again to kind of study it. And, yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of hockey. I try. It's nice in days off. I kind of get away from it a little bit and try and be normal. So
is that normal for a player to go home and go kind of, because like we could listen to our podcasts and I've said it once, I don't want to hear it again, but do you really watch your game and think maybe what you could have done differently? And I have to know a second question, a follow up is, I know you're a great athlete and you're in great shape, but you got to wake up sore some days after some of the positions you're in on the ice in that net.
Yeah, it's pretty physically demanding and, you know, every game you make it out without any kind of nick or injury, it's a good night. But yeah, I usually wake up pretty sore the next day. But we have a great training staff, and they take care of us. You know, whether it be supplements or kind of getting the right stuff into our bodies after the games to make sure we're feeling as good as we can the next day.
Scott, clear this up for us. Wendy and I log a lot of hours watching Blackhawk hockey, and we notice no matter where you guys go on the road, they've come up with this chant, and it goes something to the along the lines of this. Darling, darling. They just keep chanting your name. That doesn't upset you, right? Does that even bother you a little bit?
No, I think it's funny. you know, when you give up a goal, it's an opportunity for all the opposing fans to let you know that you suck or whatever they're going to be yelling at you. So I'm pretty used to it. It's being a goalie for as long as I've been, I've heard it all. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're going to taunt someone, it makes no sense to me to say your name,
you know,
or
your
Crawford,
name.
And it's kind of like, in a weird way, they're supporting you. They're getting your name out there.
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, we're focused on what's happening on the ice. I mean, during a TV timeout or in between whistles, maybe you can hear it a little bit, but for the most part, it goes unnoticed.
Yeah. Do you ever play any of the NHL video games where you'd be a featured player in those games? Have you ever played those?
I don't,
no.
But I've been told I'm not the guy to play with on NHL 17. I guess my ratings aren't that high, so
oh.
I'd go with Crawford if you're going to play the game.
That's not good. You could call EA Sports and complain. You could file a grievance with them. Maybe they'd listen to you.
Yeah, take them to court to try and raise my star rating a little bit.
I would do that.
Do you guys do a little Secret Santa amongst the team members? Are you going to be exchanging gifts with one another, with your teammates?
I'm not sure. I don't think we do that here. I've done it before, but I don't think we do it. No.
Did you get Coach Q a nice gift?
Maybe I should. I don't know if you get all the coaches some gifts. Stay in their good graces.
Yes, that's not a bad move. So do you ever catch yourself, Scott, like, is there ever a moment where you say to yourself, wow, this is real. I'm playing for this team that just keeps winning and winning, and it knows how to do everything. Do you ever just pinch yourself and say, how did this fall into place?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, sometimes you just got to step back and you know, especially if you're having, like, a bad day or something, you can really just step back and think about how lucky you are to be doing what you're doing. And especially for me, it means so much. Like, I've been a Hawks fan my whole life, and, you know, to put on the jersey and to be on the ice for the anthem, you know, after going to so many games here growing up, it's been pretty incredible the last 2.5 years.
Chicago Blackhawks Charities limited edition holiday cards. I have to say that because if you wait too long, you're not going to find them at the Blackhawks stores. You can go to any of the locations at United Center on Michigan Avenue and in Oak Brook. It started December 1st, so they're currently available while supplies last. They're great holiday cards as painted by Scott Darling, whom we're speaking to right now. Marian Hossa did some painting. Patrick Kane made a pretty lame-looking candy cane to start out, getting some heat from Jonathan.
I'm telling you said that.
Yeah, please mention that to him.
Jonathan, it looked better, but as he was starting out, Jonathan Taves is like, boy, dude, that's a rough start.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch all you guys. And Nicholas Jalmerson with his hat on looks really cool painting. And the cool thing, 200 autograph cards have been randomly placed within these holiday card packages. So it's like the Willy Wonka golden ticket. So somebody's going to get some autograph things. And then the original acrylic paintings will be auctioned off on ChicagoBlackhawks.com. You can start your bidding now. It's been going on since December 4th. And Monday, December 19th, a winner will be named. Proceeds, of course, benefiting the Chicago Blackhawks charities.
That's beautiful. And, you know, Scott, you and I have never talked. You've never been on with Wendy and I. But a year ago, we heard the story. And I know how humble you are. I know you don't want to go into detail. But you found out about a guy, you ran into a guy who was a little bit down on his luck, and you really changed his life. And when I heard that story, I said to myself, here's an example of a guy who isn't just out there skating and playing great hockey, but he really does care about people in the community. And that was such a nice thing that you did.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I think you've earned your stripe. Santa's going to be very good to you this year.
Well, I hope so. I don't want to get a bag of coal, so we'll see. We'll see what comes under the tree. I just picked up my tree the other day, so I'm
excited. How's it looking?
It looks good. It's the perfect height.
Yeah.
How tall are we talking?
I think it's between 8 and 9 feet, I believe.
Wow.
It was very heavy bringing it upstairs, but luckily I made it through. But yeah, I got to get in the Christmas spirit a little bit. We got to get it decorated and, you know, get ready for the holidays.
Don't let Nick Schmaltz design the ornaments. It'll ruin the tree.
Yeah.
Do you have any family traditions that you uphold that you're going to do when you get married come summertime? Everybody has, like, some kind of certain, like, you make popcorn to string around your tree. Do you have any darling family traditions that you guys do on Christmas?
I'm trying to think. Well, we do, like, a Secret Santa type thing. at my uncle's house, which is always a lot of fun. And trying to think. Well, for me, I don't know. My birthday is right before Christmas. So
December 22nd, by the way, for those of you shopping for Scott's gift.
I think the only thing I can think of is, like, we always eat Chinese food on my birthday.
Oh, excellent.
You and Bill will get along. Great.
I like to get Chinese food on my birthday, so I guess it's right next to Christmas. But other than that, I don't know. Other than my sister always gets her star from, like, third grade, always gets put on the top of the tree. That's the only thing. She's had a stronghold on the top of the tree since third grade. So.
That's some prime real estate. We were just talking about that yesterday. Bill has ornaments that his kids have made and projects from school. And as a parent, you don't want to throw them out. But how does your sister get the top of the tree every year? Man.
She gets the family tree, and then Martha, my fiance, gets the tree here. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to the top of the tree.
That's the thing. Look what you've achieved, and you still can't have the top of the tree. What's wrong with this world? It's crazy. That's nuts.
It's okay. I'll share.
You'll do all right. Scott, we're so proud of you. We're so happy for your success with the Blackhawks. It's inspiring to watch you behind the net. So keep up the great work, okay?
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday. Merry Christmas.
All right, happy holidays.
Scott Darling, everybody, number 33, goaltender for your Chicago Blackhawks. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up in just a little while as well. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Very big pleasure talking to a good old number 33, Scott Darling. You can say the starting goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks at this point,
correct? Because he is.
And Corey is doing well, and there's some league rule that he has to stay out for a certain amount of time after a surgical procedure like
correct.
That. I've been hearing a lot about appendicitis lately.
Yeah.
I know it's not the season for it.
Yeah, Christmas season is appendicitis season.
I don't know what causes it. I know when my brother was younger, he had his appendix removed, and they gave it to him to bring home. It was in a little baby food jar of formaldehyde, and it was on a shelf in the basement.
Yeah, that's a great thing to display.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird-looking thing.
I don't know why anyone would do it, but I know they do give it to you in a jar, and then it's up to you to do with it what you want.
I don't think they do that anymore. No. I don't think you can bring home
body parts.
Yeah, I don't think so. When I had a knee replacement years ago, they didn't give me my original knee.
Well, you have not seen my aorta collection, so I don't know what you know.
All right, we have to take a quick break and then find out what Roe and Anna have coming up. It's WGN, and it's Bill and Wendy.